everybody over there. Now looks back to the left, and it's intercepted at the 12-yard line. Up to the 10, lowering his shoulder, and down to the 6-yard line with the pick is Trent Pritchard.
Tonight, the 2010 season kicks off for a pair of Fort Kearney Conference rivals as the Amherst Broncos welcome in the Pleasanton Bulldogs. High school football on KKPR is brought to you by the KKPR Sports Club.
Gavin Kenny back out of the I formation. Kenny wants to throw, looks to his right. He's looking for his man on the outside. Leffelholtz caught, and he's going to score. Leffelholtz on another huge offensive play for Amherst, and it's 14-0.
Both teams are coming off impressive playoff runs in 2009 and look to start off 2010 with an impressive win over their backyard rival. It's the Bulldogs and the Broncos coming up next. But first, it's the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll take you live to Amherst with Doug Duda and Tony Davis right after this word from New Tech Seed.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to week one of high school football. Okay, last week was week zero, so there was high school football. But it is week one. Everybody that hasn't played already is playing tonight. And we welcome you to our first eight-man game of the season, and it should be a good one because everybody knows everybody here. When Pleasanton takes on Amherst, we are live from Amherst. Doug Duda along with Big Daddy Tony Davis from Amherst and the New Tech Seed pregame show here on this Friday night. And right now the sun is absolutely beating down on this field that runs north-south here in Amherst. But by the end of the first quarter, the sun will be down, and we're going to have a cool night for football. It's actually beautiful out right now. Wind's not going to be a problem, and even if it is, kind of like last week at Ravenna, we're sitting in this shelter belt of trees here for the most part, and on one side, the stands and the press box. So you got two teams that really did some good things in the playoffs last year. Of course, Pleasanton making it all the way to the state semifinals and just couldn't get anything going against Hayes Center. And for Amherst to Tony, wow, they came out of an 11 seed there in the D1 playoffs, went to Arapahoe, beat Maxwell on a miracle finish there, and then ran into a buzzsaw in the third round. But both teams had a lot of momentum coming off last year. And as always, in the eight-man ranks, when you graduate four or five, you're graduating half your starters.
Well, that's right. And you know what, Doug? There's something about both of these teams. For Amherst, you've got Klingelhoffers. You've got, you know, the names that you're used to seeing around there. The Sadoffs have been around. For Pleasanton, you've got the Reeses. You've got the Janicek's. You've got the Pritchard kids. They've got those family names built in. They've got tradition at both of these schools. And something to get you deep in the playoffs, that's what you need. These teams have been good in the past. How long have they been since Amherst right here was 11, man, and we were bringing Cambridge in to play them? You know, those are some great matchups back then. That hadn't been all that long ago.
Yeah, this is the first time in a long, long time that in varsity football, Amherst and Pleasanton have played each other, because as you said, when Pleasanton was a D1 school, Amherst was playing 11-man. Pleasanton went to D2. Amherst has been playing some 8-man football for a while, but they've been D1. Now they have slid down to D2, and they've got quite a few teams right along the highway here. Loup City's back down, and they're actually a D2 football team. Litchfield, D2 football team. And so these teams getting a chance to play for the first time varsity. They do play junior high. They play each other in all the other sports in the Fort Kearney Conference. Tony, I ask you this. Pleasanton and Amherst, from some people, and I think the rivalries and the anger that we used to associate with rivalries has kind of worn off. That was more of our uncles, our I wouldn't say our fathers, but in the 70s and in the 80s, and I think the more that we grow and the smaller the schools get and the less population you have in each town, it's not quite so bad. But you've got schools that used to just not get along, or towns that didn't get along. They have merged. They have co-ops. They built schools together. At Bertrand, you had Loomis. There's a variety of other schools that you can compare to. I mean, even at Ord, I can't say that we had a rivalry quite like that. I mean, there was Burwell. There was Loup City. There was Grand Island Northwest, depending on how you look at it. But you have that aspect. I mean, when Bertrand played Loomis, That has to be a lot like when Pleasanton plays Amherst.
Well, yeah, you know, you went and played the game and you wanted to beat the other side. But at the same time, once that game was over, you were all friends again and you did things. Or, people went to church together. You know, you got several churches out in the country. People went to church together. You do things like that in the community together. So, yeah, I don't think there's a love-hate relationship here. I think both teams want to win this football game and start their seasons off on the right foot. But you know what? Probably two pretty good football teams here. Both these teams are going to win some games this year, so kind of one of those deals. If you happen to come out on the short end of the night, you shouldn't hang your head too far.
The crazy thing is that these teams are not in the same districts, being about, depending on how which gravel road you take here, about 10 to 12 miles away from each other. Amherst is in a district to the south, and then Pleasanton is in with the Loup Cities and the Litchfields, as we talked about earlier. And so kind of a strange way that these districts came. And so tonight, just a good way to test the season. No championships are going to be on the line tonight. But Pleasanton still probably comes in as a little bit of a favorite here, Tony. They made it to the state semifinals. They're ranked as high as number 6. Amherst is not ranked, and I think they might have a couple of more pieces to fill in, even though Pleasanton lost Sean Campbell, a 2,000-yard rusher.
Now, you know, you think it's got to be the power running game for both of these teams, although Garrett Reese for the Pleasanton side certainly wants to have the ball thrown his direction. He's a big target, of course, recruiting interest being drawn from him from the likes of Nebraska, Kansas State, and Kansas. Seems to get more mail each and every week. And with somebody his size, he's packed on 20 more pounds. He's up to 235 to open this season. But it's going to be the Pritchard boys, you think, running the football. Now, the list of starters, maybe they're not listed there, but they're going to get them the ball, I would think, early and often. And for the other side, it's going to be Dibbern, and you're going to hear that name a lot. He's a state champion wrestler. He's a state runner-up wrestler the last 2 years. So they're going to get him the ball. They're going to get Waffleholtz the ball, and it's going to be a running team. Now, how can they say can throw the ball? They're not sure they got anybody that can catch it, though. That's the problem for Amherst.
Amherst does have some problems as far as maybe the receivers and the ends not as experienced as they've been in the past, and their secondary is very inexperienced. And we'll talk with the coaches about that. Ron Evans from Amherst. But first, Ricky Westland from Pleasanton. They're the road team. We will hear from the coaches in a moment. You're listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on KKPR-FM. Kearney, Amherst, and Pleasanton. We're also on the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. Kickoff tonight is at 7:30. Let's hear from the coaches, and we'll do that right after this timeout on the New Tech Seed pregame show.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
The guys at Husker Tech are proud to support our Amherst Broncos. Call on Husker Tech for farm building, steel or wood construction, commercial and residential remodeling, and concrete work. They do everything but the dishes. Husker Tech, find them in the Overton phone book.
We're proud to be recognized as a leading ag bank, proud to be a leading commercial lender, proud that our staff has all the qualities of good hometown folks. We're Town & Country Bank, Ravenna, Litchfield, Pleasanton, and Kearney.
Bailey Drywall in Pleasanton is proud to support the area athletes this year and wish them the best of luck today. Call Bailey for all your drywall projects, big or small. They take care of all your walls. From a little remodel to a new construction, Bailey Drywall is the name you need to know.
And welcome back to Classic Hit 98.9's Friday Night Football. And the New Tech Seed pregame show continues as we catch up with the head coach of the Pleasanton Bulldogs, ready to continue on what's started to be a pretty good little dynasty for the Bulldogs, coming off their best season in school history. And Ricky Westland joins us here. Coach, has to be exciting every Friday night, but that first one of the season, a little sweaty palms maybe. I know the kids, and a lot since you're playing a lot of new ones this year, it's going to be exciting to see what they can do. And then you throw in Amherst as a rivalry game. It's got it all here on opening night.
Yes, it does. I'm excited just to get started. And, you know, like you said, some of these kids will be new faces out there, and I'm just excited to see what they can do. You know, they've been standing in the shadows for a couple of years now. It's their time to get underneath those Friday night lights and have a blast.
Well, let's take a look at that. When you're talking D2 and then you say lost a lot of kids, there's not usually a whole lot of kids to replace them, but you do have a good, solid roster, and I think people are starting to learn that it's amazing you're the smallest D2 school now in the state, made it all the way to the state semifinals last year, yet you still have a great core of kids that are out there. How was the off-season workouts for you?
Oh, it was great. You just, you know, you as I started out, you know, it's hard to get that tradition going and or find things that from the tradition in the past to get that regenerated. But once you get going, you know, get some winning seasons together, you know, those kids are, they want to step in there and produce like the kids ahead of them did.
One of the spots that you'll be looking at is that running back spot, which you guys made interesting last year by running a little bit of wildcat, running some different guys back there. You can put a big fella back there at 200 pounds, or you can go with a lot of the smaller kids. The backs that you're going to start with aren't that big, but seem to be pretty shifty. So tell me what you're expecting from the running game early on this year.
Oh, they've all had a great preseason. You know, Austin Pates, Jason Nichols, and Clay Weber have been doing a great job in there. And there we had a whole group of kids. You know, we, like you said, we're the smallest team in eight-man football, so every kid's got to know every position. So, and that's a great thing about these kids. They're smart, so that you can shift them from the line to the backfield, you know, throw them into the end. You know, quarterback might be a little tougher to pick up on, but they can shift back and forth a lot.
Talking with Ricky Wesselin, the head football coach at Pleasanton, you had the luxury of having a 2,000-yard back in Sean Campbell last year. Now that you don't just have that one go-to back, and you had a couple of guys that you used last year, do you change the way you run the ball? I mean, do you call different plays, or do you feel comfortable that you can run the same offense this year?
Well, we're going to try to get about the same offense going as we did last year, and those three backs now have to get a little under 700 yards each to match Campbell's 2,000, I guess.
Well, one guy that you do have back is Colin Janicek. He was able to anchor that quarterback position out of a sophomore slot last year, and so the good news is you've got him for two more years. Talk about his development.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, 1 year underneath his belt as a sophomore at starting quarterback, you know, last year at this time, his eyes were still pretty big. And talk about sweaty palms. That kid had him for that first game. But, you know, those jitters are kind of gone, and he knows what to expect out there on Fridays. And he's basically turned into the leader of the offense.
Talk about the ends. You don't throw the ball a lot. Colin can throw the ball. And when you guys throw to your tight ends, that's usually big-time plays, first-down scoring plays. Talk about the guys that are going to be catching the ball.
Returning for us will be Garrett Reese. He was a great end. I think he was our leading receiver last year. Great size, great hands, great speed, you know, great athletic ability to get up. And you saw him in some of the football games taking it away from defensive backs, so his strengths are out as well. Another kid we have new to the roster this year, he was out last year, or didn't come out last year, is Cole Pritchard. He is about a 6'2", 6'3 kid, about a 180-pounder that can jump out of the gym. Would be a great track athlete, but he's also a great golfer, and he came out this year, and he's going to be paired up with Garrett at the end position.
Talking with Ricky Wesselin here on the opening night of the football season for Pleasanton. They're getting ready to play Amherst. A lot of people feel that Garrett Reese not only is the best football player on this team, but he is an all-stater, and he can really tear things up on the defensive side of the ball. Is he your leader on that side?
Yes, he is, and he's got a little guy in front of him that's his buddy that they work really well together. That's Lucas Mills, number 10. I know Big Daddy fell in love with him last year, and he's kind of adopted. Some of the kids gave him the nickname of Baby Sue.
He doesn't tackle quarterbacks by the helmet, does he?
You know, he just tackles.
Well, your defense may be the thing that you're going to hang your hat on to start the season. And when you play Amherst, your defense always has to be on its toes. Coach Evans always has quite a few wrinkles there. What are you expecting in this game tonight?
Oh, I expect a ton of wrinkles. You know, he's a gamer. He knows how to, I think, you know, just talking with him and stuff, he's always drawing up something new, I think, every week. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully he doesn't do that every series or every quarter. We're just going to have to try to man the field and see what we can do by playing assignment football, you know, watching out for reverses and things. We can't get too jumpy and just all go after the ball. We got to stay home and play disciplined defense.
You guys know each other pretty well over there with this backyard rivalry. Who's concerns you when you take the field here against Amherst?
I think they have some size on their line. I know that stands out a little bit, but more so is their backfield. They got the Leffholz kid and the Diburn kid. You know, obviously they're great athletes all around, great wrestlers and everything. And also very good size on them. So we got to, you know, it's going to be basically probably ground and pound coming from Amherst. So we got to, with, you know, stand that. We got to stick in there. It's going to be tough because they outsize us. And you know how that could get in the fourth quarter with a ground and pound team.
Ricky Wesselin with us for another minute here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Coach, just talk about the rivalry. I mean, these kids see each other, but they haven't seen each other on the football field for a while. So talk about getting a chance to knock helmets here in this rivalry game.
Yeah, for the most part, the last time they saw each other on a football field was in junior high. You know, they see each other in all the other activities that go on in the conference, so it'll be fun to, you know, get on the grass and play in somebody else's backyard and get after things.
Ricky, big picture before we let you go here. This program has really come a long way. You made it to the state semifinals last year. You're picked to win the district this year, which is exciting because you've got Loup City down the road, Litchfield down the road, somebody that's not down the road, Lindsay Holy Family. What are you expecting from this team overall this year?
Oh, just, yeah, I'm seeing it right now. I'm seeing glimpses right now. But, you know, we're still early, and the leadership is there to have a great season again. You know, the other day that we let the kids take over conditioning at practice, and I think they got more out of themselves than we have all year trying to get through 4 weeks to push them. So, you know, it's just, it comes from inside. Those kids want to do something great. They have more than enough ability and great leadership to do those things this year again.
Ricky, sounds great. Another football season underway, and should be a great football game tonight between you and Amherst. And we appreciate the time, and best of luck this season.
Well, thanks, Doug.
That's Ricky Westland, head football coach of the Pleasanton Bulldogs, and we'll be back and catch up with Amherst head football coach Ron Evans as the New Tech Seed pregame show continues on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at kkpr.com.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in their game. Whether you're tackling a term paper or tackling the running back, Dr. Adamson specializes in shoulder problems, including surgery, sports medicine, trauma, and general orthopedics. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Zimatic and Pleasanton Irrigation offer you big saving choices when you purchase your new system. Order soon and take advantage of both low interest rates and rebates. Pleasanton Irrigation says go Dogs.
And we're back on the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at kkpr.com. It is the opener, and it's at home for Amherst, and head coach Ron Evans joins us here this evening as they get ready to take on Pleasanton. Coach, I'll tell you what, this team had a lot of momentum at the end of last season, getting some wins in the playoffs. You kind of had two separate sets of momentum last year, positive momentum. And you lose some kids, but how much of that can carry over to start this season?
Well, you know, we learned how to win the close games last year, which is very important. You know, hang in there against Maxwell and play well, you know, basically down the stretch in the playoffs. So four or five of our kids had experience with that, so that helps to carry over to this year. And hopefully we can get off to a good start get a start like we finished up last year.
How has fall camp been? Everybody's going to say there have been some good things or some bad things. I guess what's been the most positive coming into this game?
Well, we had a lot of younger kids that hadn't played a lot stepped up, and we developed some depth in some places we didn't think so, especially across the offensive and defensive lines. So that's been a very, very good positive for us. And also our senior leadership's been great. So I appreciate that.
What about starting off with Pleasanton, the opening game of the year? I mean, I guess that doesn't have to. You didn't have to worry all summer about getting the kids' attention when that's the first game up.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's been a long-standing rivalry. It's been a whole few years since we played them because we've been in D1 and they've been in D2. But you know, it's always been a good rivalry. The games are always pretty close, and it's always the fans get excited for it, so it'll be fun.
It's hard to imagine that you can take a gravel road probably 10 miles and get from one city to the other, yet you're not in the same district. Is that a good thing?
Well, our district's plenty tough without them, so in a way I'm kind of relieved that they're not in our district because they're going to be pretty difficult to contend with. But on the other hand, because they're going to be pretty good, we'll get a good test of ourselves, and it'll make us better down the road.
Your teams seem to be pretty different. Where they have experience, you don't, and where you have experience, they don't. And that includes at the running back position. They'll be breaking in some new kids. You're pretty good there with Bryce Dibbern. You guys like to run the ball. You like to run it a whole lot of different ways. Right. Tell us what you can do when you got a kid like Bryce back.
Well, actually, we've got a two-headed monster this year. Logan Luffelholtz has really stepped up and got a lot better at the running back position. He didn't play a lot last year there, but he matches Bryce in intensity and physicality. So we're going to actually have pretty much a two-headed monster back there sharing the load. I'm looking to get him equal carries, and both of them are going to be very productive. So it should be, it should be a good thing for us having, one can play fullback, one can play tailback, and they can switch back and forth. So that'll really help with our depth and also their conditioning, too.
Amherst head football coach Ron Evans joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. They have a returning quarterback. You don't. Tell me a little bit about Dylan Halligan.
Okay, Dylan's he's just got a good football mind. He's a big kid. He's 6'2", 6'3", over 200 pounds. So he's got a good frame for playing quarterback. He's smart. He knows the game real well. like I said, he doesn't have a whole lot of experience. He got some good JV experience last year, but he stepped in. We haven't missed a beat. You know, he can call the plays, and he's not as fast as some of our quarterbacks in the past, but he's a little taller, and he's a little more accurate passer, so he's going to be fine.
Defensively, you've got some nice kids back, but it looked like going in the biggest concern was what you were going to do in the secondary. Not a lot of experience, and the kids you're trying to plug in there aren't necessarily all that big either. How's that coming along for you?
Well, there's several ways to play pass defense. One's to get a good pass rush on so they don't have time to throw. That's going to be one of our factors, I think, is to give our defensive backs who aren't real big, you know, chances to make interceptions and not let the quarterback sit back there and spend a lot of time. The other way is to jam them at the line of scrimmage, make it hard for them to get off with pressure. The other thing is just to put them one-on-one and, you know, and hope they get better season by season, so, or game by game, I guess. So that's what we're planning on doing, high pressure, make them have to throw the ball quick. Hopefully our DBs will react to that and we'll be fine.
I kind of see going into the game here, Coach, that neither team throws the ball all that much, but when you do in the eight-man game, especially you at Amherst and Ricky over at Pleasanton, when you throw the ball, it's not for 5 yards. It's for home runs. It's for first downs. It's
right.
For touchdowns. When you got a team like they have that just loves to run the ball so strong, use the Wildcat, how do you keep those young DBs from not getting caught looking in the backfield and somebody sneaking behind them?
Well, that's the problem is, they want to sneak up there. Everybody wants to be a linebacker, so if they do their technique right and take their three read steps like they've been taught, they'll be fine. But, heat of the game, they're high school kids, stuff like that happens. We try to remind them every defensive play, look for pass, run second. So most of the time that works out pretty good.
Another minute here with Ron Evans, head football coach at Amherst. There's going to be some big boys on that line battling. I know you have to be concerned about the Bulldogs' Garrett Reese, but you got a couple of nice ones there in the Sadoff boys. Talk about how that matchup you hope is going to pan out.
Yeah, we're pretty good size across the front, and they are too, so I think we'll match up pretty nicely with them. The Sadoff boys they've had a really good camp. They've improved their footwork and their speed and their agility, and they're kind of what I call road graders. They're low bodies. Their center of gravity is real low, so they can get a good push and a good surge, which is what we're going to need to have to keep the clock moving, keep the chains moving, and hopefully score a couple points here and there.
Ron, biggest concern is what then about Pleasanton here on opening night?
Well, I'd say basically I'm fairly confident that we can control the running game. I think we can. Of course, sometimes like that comes back and bites you. I'm worried about their play-action pass where they, like you said, they slip somebody behind us, get it back out of the backfield, and we're too aggressive and we don't see him go and he's wide open and they get scores that way. The easy scores, we want to make him earn it. So that's the main concern is the backs out of the backfield, flat passes, backs going deep. Not getting pressure on the quarterback. Another thing is basically if we let the quarterback scramble outside of the pocket and have more time to throw, we're gonna be in trouble. So we got to keep him in the pocket.
And Ron, always opening night, coaches don't know exactly. You can look at it in practice, but until it's game time, you go against somebody else, you probably got something. Well, I'm not just sure. What's the first thing you're looking for in these first couple series from your team?
Well, basically, offensively, just looking for a good line surge, getting a good push up front, making sure that the quarterback it's always a little wild when they first get out there and they have some nerves and they're jittery. Quarterback center exchange, good line surge. Those are going to be the keys for tonight, that we control the ball, no turnovers, no penalties, good line surge.
Well, Coach, should be an exciting season. Hope to see you a couple of times, as always, and let's see who gets 2010 off to a victorious start. Can't wait to kick it off at Amherst.
Yep, should be fun.
Take care, bud. Head football coach of the Amherst Broncos, Ron Evans, joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll take a break and be back with the starting lineups right after this.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits, from its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. Stop by your Buffalo County Farm Bureau office today.
The staff and management of State Bank of Riverdale in Riverdale are very proud to support all our area athletes and coaches in the game. Visit us in our main office in Riverdale or one of our loan production offices in Kearney and Ord. State Bank of Riverdale, member FDIC.
And welcome back to Friday Night Football on the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. on a splendid night for football. Doug Duda along with Tony Davis as we take a look at the starting lineups brought to you by our fine friends at Five Points Bank. The better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank. Taking care of customers one at a time. Five Points Bank, the better bank. For Pleasanton tonight, at center is number 59, 160-pound junior Aaron Winberg. At guard, number 10, 180-pound senior Lucas Mills. At number 54, 175-pound junior Caleb Pritchard, but could see him in the backfield carrying that ball and running the Wildcat later on tonight. At end is number 15, 235-pound senior, the guy Tony was talking about earlier, Garrett Reese. At number 35, 170-pound senior Cole Pritchard. At I-back, number 5, a 150-pound junior, Austin Pates. At fullback, number 22, 150-pound junior, Jason Nichols. You'll also see a little bit of number 7, 155-pound sophomore, Clay Weber. The returning starting quarterback for the Pleasanton Bulldogs is number 3, a 155-pound junior, Colin Janacek. The head coach of the Pleasanton Bulldogs is Ricky Westland, assisted by Rocky Hatch and Dana Fisher. It's the season opening game for the Bulldogs, ranked 6th and 9th in the Omaha World Herald and Lincoln Journal Star D2 rankings. Now a look at the starting lineup for the Broncos of Amherst. Here's how things look for them. At center, number 57, 5'8", 225-pound junior, Jacob Sadoff. At guard, number 55, 5'7", 230-pound senior, Cody Sadoff. At number 14, a 5'8", 190-pound senior, Dalton Kratzer. At ends, number 51, a 5'8", 175-pound junior, Darby Ortwig. At number 53, a 5'9", 175-pound senior, Spencer Lent. You'll also see some of Ty Stevens, Wyatt Shockey, and Kalen Pfeiffer at that end position. In the backfield, your running backs, number 2, a 5'9", 175-pound senior, Logan Leffelholtz. At number 20, a 5'9", 170-pound senior, Bryce Zibbard. The quarterback of the Amherst Broncos is number 15, a 6'2", 190-pound junior, Dylan Halligan. The head coach of the Amherst Broncos is Ron Evans, assisted by Tyler Herman, Cody Gillespie, and Dusty Leffelholtz, also the season opener for Amherst, dropping down to D2 after going to the third round of the D1 state playoffs last season. And that's the starting lineup brought to you by Five Points Bank, proud of its long history of being the local community bank to count on in our area. Our growth in deposits and loans in the past 20 years is unparalleled in the Tri-City area. We've also concentrated on being a profitable and secure place for our customers. Growth, profitability, and providing the best in customer service are goals they strive for and achieve, making Five Points Bank your safe, secure banking choice. Five Points Bank, your clear choice is the bank to count on. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Danny, we've got the injury situation to take a look at tonight, and one team has been affected a little bit more than the other, and we'll get a chance to take a look at that here in just a moment. You've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed wishing the athletes the very best of luck tonight from Terry and Jason Stark. Contact the New Tech Seed dealer near you for all your seed needs. Proud to support our area athletes in and out of the game, Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed. The opening kickoff and our entry report comes your way right after this timeout.
Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank. Taking care of customers one person at a time. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Trotter Fertilizer and Trotter Service of Pleasanton is proud to support the area athletes. See Trotters in Pleasanton when you need on-site farm service, including bulk fuels and tire service. Trotters is here to keep your autos and farm equipment rolling. Trotter Fertilizer and Service in Pleasanton. Good luck, Bulldogs!
The Phillips Insurance Agency proudly supports the Pleasanton Bulldogs. The Phillips Insurance Agency is a full-service crop and life insurance agency. Life insurance rates are changing all the time, so ask for a life checkup today. Your insurance experts, the Phillips Insurance Agency in Pleasanton.
Trust the experts when it comes to your hearing or hearing aid products. At ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, our university-trained audiologists provide individualized care. Caring for our community, one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Pleasanton Meat Processing is your custom beef and pork processors, and they can handle it all. USDA steaks are available, they can smoke your orders, and they have barbecue beef and pork. Pleasanton Meat Processing says, tear them up, Bulldog!
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game, or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Well, Tony, not both of these teams are coming in completely healthy to tonight's football game, but it's time for our Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center injury report. This injury report brought to you by the fine folks at Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. When you're injured, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center will get you back into the game of life with locations in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, and now Lexington. Tony, what do you got?
Well, it looks like Amherst may be more affected than Pleasanton on the injury front. Doug, four Amherst Broncos will not suit up tonight, including a freshman in Mason Klingelhofer, who broke the tip of his femur right above the knee. He's out, look likely, till wrestling season starts. Tanner Toppenheim, somebody that could contribute an awful lot, out with a broken wrist, along with Dylan Kinney and Jacob Lobby for the Pleasanton Bulldogs. Looks like just Anthony Hill is out for tonight's contest, a 5'7" freshman. So looks like if that tilted one way, it goes to the Pleasanton Bulldogs' favor.
The Family Physical Therapy Injury Report knows that everyone has an oops in once in a while. It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back in the game of life. Tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back in the game of life. Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, and now in Lexington. Well, Pleasanton won the toss. They deferred, Tony, so Amherst is going to get the ball. They'll move from left to right here as we get this first game of the season underway for both teams. The ball is on the tee. It's a line drive kick fielded at the six-yard line. Amherst comes up the middle of the field to the 10-15 big collision as they come across the 20 and out to the 21-yard line. On the kick return is Ty Stevens.
Yeah, Lucas Mills is the first man there for the Bulldogs. He is a little bulldog up there. He is not very big, but he causes havoc in the backfield almost every down.
You nicknamed him Little Sue last year in the playoffs, and they've kind of taken that to heart over in Pleasanton. They know about it, and they kid him about it, and they go with it. So
for first play of the game, he breaks his face mask. He's got it over on the sidelines.
And that means Pleasanton will bring Trevor Seifert into the ball game here, and then we've got a penalty as jumping offsides, it looks like, the left defensive end here for Pleasanton. Last week, Tony, we had such a clean first half with Ravenna and Donovan Trumbull, and then Ravenna had some penalty problems and a lot of false starts in the third quarter. You expect to see this early in the season, especially two rivalry teams ready to get this season going. They've been waiting a long time.
Yeah, you're so excited to finally get another different colored jersey. You just get too excited and jump across the line of scrimmage.
So offsides on Pleasanton. That'll bring up first down and five for Amherst at their own 26-yard line. Straight I formation. They'll turn. They'll give it to the fullback. That's Bryce Dibbern. Tries the left side and doesn't get much. Maybe a yard off the bottom of the pile. Austin Pates, among others.
Well, Mills was right there, too. Just shed the center and shot right to the right side. And he wrapped him up and brought him to the ground.
So that'll bring up second down and four because of the penalty. And we already see Coach Evans switching out his two ends in Ortwig and Landis. You'll see Stevens and Shockey and also, as we said, Kalen Pfeiffer into the football game. This time the I-back is set way back there, Bryce Dibbern. They bring Luffelholtz to the fullback, ball right in the middle of the football field. On second and four, and we're going to have a false start. Dibbern took a step in the backfield. And again, you know, when you do that, just keep going. Take that step forward and then start running down the line, and you'll avoid that false start. But, again, that's just something you have to learn. And so an offsides penalty on first down is negated by a false start penalty on second down. It'll bring up second down and nine.
That's all fine and dandy, Doug, until you're the one that's supposed to have the ball there right over the guard.
Well, yeah, if he turns and pitches it and you're not there, that's also a problem. You're right. Second down and nine. Doubt that we'll see any change in the play. 7:30 kickoff. No, there's a lot of 7 o'clock kickoffs. We'll get you some scores on the Valentino scoreline in just a moment and tell you how you can contribute. Toss sweep, right side. It was a high pitch. Dibbern has it, and he is hit immediately and brought down hard by Caleb Pritchard. He tackled him forward, so he actually picks up a couple of yards to the 25-yard line. It'll be third down and 7.
Interesting about Caleb Pritchard. He did not practice starting off with his team during two-a-days. The night before two-a-days, he was involved in a four-wheeler accident, Doug, and they don't know if it was a fence post or some a pokey object or something went through his knee, and the only thing that resulted in that was some stitches.
Yeah, got lucky. He was fortunate that the accident wasn't worse than it was. Third and 7 at their own 25-yard line.
I think somebody got some equipment.
They've got it offsides. And, again, this is one of the things where you have to talk to the kids, too, when they come up to that line of scrimmage. Say, hey, move back a little bit. But the 5-yard offside penalty, the second offside penalty here, the first series on Pleasanton. Simply somebody lined up over the line of scrimmage because they weren't even really set on the offensive side of the ball yet. And that'll help Amherst. It makes it third and about a yard and a half. They gave a pretty good spot there, Tony. Yeah. The ball was sitting right on the 25. They marked it over the 30, so they actually walked off 5.5 yards. Third and a yard and a half here for Amherst on the opening drive of this football game. Toss sweep, weak side, Luffelholtz trying to get outside and coming into the backfield and knocking him down is Pates for a 3-yard loss. It'll be fourth down.
That's a great tackle on the outside. Just wrapped up his ankles, brought him down immediately. Got a good job of getting a penetration into the backfield.
So a series that saw more penalties than yards, and that'll bring up fourth down. We'll call it 4 yards to go. Amherst at their own 28-yard line. Going to have to punt the football away here with 9:45 and counting in the opening quarter.
A little bit of surprise by that call. I think you need a yard and a half. Turn and hand it to Burton and see if he can get straight ahead for that yard and a half.
Dylan Halligan, the quarterback, is also the punter on this football team. Just one man back deep here. Pleasanton looks like they're coming after it. Pates on the outside just about got there. The kick is away. Nice spiral but short. Taken at the 30-yard line, and then they're going to let it go. I thought he was going to grab it. He didn't get there in time, as he really had to come up for that short punt, and it rolls to about the 26-yard line. So that's going to be about a 26-yard punt.
Yeah, it's a good high spiral kick once he got it away, but you're right. It barely does get that punt away. It could have been a big switch from field position battle right there for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Austin Pates came from the outside virtually untouched. Now Pleasanton gets their first opportunity to get something going here. First and 10 at their own 26-yard line. They line up with a single back and a tight end on each side, and Janicek will take the snap, pitch it off the right side, and they'll nail him at the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play. The opening carry of the season. You're used to having Sean Campbell, but not tonight. For Pleasanton, it's going to be Jason Nichols with the first carry. No gain.
Yeah, Dalton Kratzer was the first man there. Just came through untouched and wrapped him up. A good job of tackling, one-on-one tackling there.
I'll be surprised if at least 5 different players don't touch the football here running it before it becomes, if it's out of control, but 5 in first string time. Weber in motion. They're going to run an option here. A penalty flag comes down as Janicek keeps it over the right side and gets 5. But we've got a penalty flag on the backside of the play that came out immediately, Tony.
Yeah, you got to think that's probably a false start on the offensive on an end over there, maybe getting a step across. Like you said, that flag came out immediately just as soon as the ball was snapped.
Oh, they're going to wave off the flag here. Okay, they're going to pick the flag up, and that means out to the 31-yard line, a 5-yard gain for Colin Janicek, and that'll bring up second down and 5. 8:40 to go, first quarter at Amherst. Pleasanton and Amherst are scoreless. They go out of the wing formation, the double wing, and Janicek wants to keep it himself off the left side, and there's nothing there. He turned up, ran into his own man, and then 4 Broncos, led by number 20, Bryce Dibbern, drive him backwards, and it's going to be fourth down in a punting situation.
Yeah, that's one of those. I turned around and introduced himself to Bryce Dibbern, somebody in that wrong-colored jersey.
So each team has had it once and no first downs, and we'll click under 8 minutes by the time Pleasanton punts this football away. And dropping back on the kick return here will be number 5, Ty Stevens. Not all that deep either, Tony. He's at the 20-yard line. That'd only be about a 19-yard punt where he's standing, and it's a fake. It's a fake this time, and right up the middle of the field. It's going to be close, and then maybe a face mask at the end as the punter, Cole Pritchard, brought it off the left end and is tackled right at the first down marker.
Yeah, that's going to be a real easy 15-yard face mask, isn't it, Doug?
Well, the penalties came from both sides. 2 flags are on the field, so whatever it was had to be pretty blocked. Oh, they pick up the flag again?
Well, the umpire right in the middle of the field said he did not have his face mask. He was grabbing him on top of the helmet, pulling him backwards. So that's the call they went with.
And, boy, they're not even going to measure, Tony, on what looks to be a very close. Well, maybe not. Maybe he's got it by a half yard. They started at the 26, and this is out to about the 37-yard line. So a fake punt is good enough for a 5-yard gain in our first down. So Ricky Westland rolling the dice right out of the gate here. So first down and 10. This time they'll go dual threat. Janicek wants to throw. He lobs it high down the right side. He's got a man complete at the 25, down to the 20. Pates will make it the tackle down at the 18-yard line, getting it to Cole Pritchard.
Yeah, nice pass. Just let the Blair make a play on the ball, and Pritchard is able to go up and get it. You know, he stands in there probably about 6'1", and he's going up against a 5'7" defensive back. He just went out and took it away from him.
So another first down, and that'll break it down to the 18-yard line here. Amherst now still trying to recover. from that fake punt. Single wing, Clay Weber on the left side. They'll pitch it left side, trying to get to the outside and nowhere to go. Amherst with some good defense to bring the running back, Austin Pate, down to the ground and out of bounds on the Amherst sideline for no gain.
Yeah, they just did a good job of stringing that play out. There were three, four red jerseys all the way to the sideline. They really had nowhere to go.
I'm going to say there's actually a loss of one on the play that time. Pates with his first carry of the ball game will lose one. Second and 11 at the Amherst 19-yard line. Scoreless with 6:50 to go in the first quarter out of the I formation now. Double tight end and the right guard stood up. And you don't necessarily expect Caleb Pritchard to do that. He got out of his stance a little quick there. So Caleb and Cole Pritchard, as you mentioned off the names at the start of the telecast, Tony, that got a lot of those same names that we've heard for years.
Yeah, they're going to be quality playmakers for this team. If this team expects to go into the playoffs, they're going to go as the Pritchard boys and Garrett Reese go.
And we're going to have a timeout on the field here called by Pleasanton with 6:48 to go in the first quarter of play. Pleasanton has it second and 16 at the Amherst 24. We're scoreless and back after this on KKPR.
For all your custom slaughter and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats is proud of our youth and all their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in tonight's game.
The staff and management of State Bank of Riverdale in Riverdale are very proud to support all our area athletes and coaches in the game. Visit us in our main office in Riverdale or one of our loan production offices in Kearney and Ord. State Bank of Riverdale, member FDIC.
And welcome back. Don't forget, if you've got a score for our Valentino's hotline, call 308-646-0506, or better yet, text it to 308-646-0506. Tony, some scores.
Yeah, Eustace Farnham 16, Elwood 0. That's after one quarter of play. Axtell 6, Elm Creek 0 after one. Hastings St. Cecilia now leads Kearney Catholic 21-0. That is just the first quarter has just ended there.
That's on ESPN 1460 and 1550. Here it's scoreless, 6:48 to go first quarter. Pleasanton too wide to the right. Janacek wants to throw. Throws it as high as he can for the right pylon, and it's off the fingertips of his intended receiver, Jason Nichols. Just led him by about a quarter of a yard. And boy, the photographer down there in the end zone was all over that one, Tony. If he hauled that in, he'd had a perfect shot at it. But now it's third and 16, and I heard and talked to the coaches in the pregame interview that I think this is the biggest mismatch of the night, Pleasanton's wide receivers on Amherst defensive backs.
Yeah, you certainly, you think if you get Dimmern out there to guard one of them, maybe with his athleticism he can take one of those guys away, but not three of them. There were three guys that each had two steps on their defender that time.
Third and 16 at the Amherst 24 after they converted a fake punt. Now they've got to convert a pass. Janacek, no, hands it off to Nichols. Amherst slows him up enough as he's only going to get up to the 20-yard line and be brought down there. It's just a four-yard gain for Jason Nichols. But now you're on that part of the field where you're too close to punt the ball, and it's going to be fourth down and about 13 yards to go.
You know, it was a little bit weird. That first time they punted, that punter was only about 8 yards in the backfield, about the same as Amherst's running back, actually, when you look at the offensive side of the ball. So you thought something may be up, and they just ran a straight-ahead play with him. Obviously, here with 13 to go, that's probably too much to do that again, so they're probably going to have to line up and throw the ball.
Usually you see maybe just a Hail Mary to the end zone or two. Janacek under pressure, throws it down the middle of the field. He's got all kinds of guys and too many in a way, and here's a pass interference penalty flag as they tried to get it to Garrett Reese.
Well, Reese was getting held all the way down the field. He was getting, you can't touch that receiver once you get 5 yards down the field. The guy was standing right in front of him and kind of bumping him all the way along, and that's what they're going to call.
That's where you get in trouble because they sent three men down the field, Tony, and they were all in with about 3 yards, so you couldn't tell if they were holding or bumping into each other, and they called defensive holding, so that's a 5-yard penalty, but it's an automatic first down after it was fourth down and 13. And so a fake punt and a holding penalty on a fourth down.
Wait a minute.
And then they mark the football off 10 yards here on the holding. So a 10-yard mark off to the 11-yard line. And it'll be first down and 10. Well, they're not... Okay, I don't know. We're going to have to check our rule book, Tony. They're not giving them a first down here. I thought defensive holding was an automatic first down. It's fourth and four at the 11 out of the I formation. Big hole, Nichols over the right side. He's across the five, down to the two. It's first and goal.
Yeah, good hole on the right side opened up that time. He just had just absolute lane to run through and just takes it inside the five real easily that time. For the first time they've had any room at all to run. You're right, Doug. It's kind of mystifying on that penalty. It certainly is on Sundays. A first down.
So it is first down and goal. And it is on Saturdays, too. First down and goal. They're going to officially mark the ball at the 3-yard line here. Scoreless, 5:40 to go. Opening drive for Pleasanton. Out of the I formation, they give it to the I back off the left side, stretching for the end zone. We've got our first touchdown of the season for the Pleasanton Bulldogs. Taking it in is Garrett Reese. They line him up. I mean, anybody on this team can score and run the football, and Garrett Reese lines up back there and scores.
Well, listed at 235. It's just another weapon that they can add, another dimension of this offense to put him back there. You got the two Pritchard boys that are interchangeable out there, and it ends, and you got him. Once you run him back in there, you got to have about two or three people to bring him down, especially when you only need a couple yards.
Now, they do have a place kicker in Ridge Neal, but they're going to line up and go for two with Twins to the right side. Now they'll move Lember in motion from right to left, the strong side. Quarterback option, pitch right side. Pates, he's got it. He's hit at the pylon, but he gets into the end zone for the two-point conversion. So after a fake punt and a holding penalty on fourth down, Pleasanton's able to march the field, score, and get the two-point conversion. With 5:32 to go, first quarter, Pleasanton 8, Amherst nothing on KKPR.
Dr. Michael Sadoff and Dr. Andrew Sadoff of Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic in Miller believe all of our furry friends, large and small, deserve kind, humane, and loving treatments. They can precondition your calves this fall and ultrasound your heifers and cows either at the clinic or on your farm. Best of luck, Amherst from Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic.
The Phillips Insurance Agency proudly supports the Pleasanton Bulldogs. The Phillips Insurance Agency is a full-service crop and life insurance agency. Life insurance rates are changing all the time, so ask for a life checkup today. Your insurance experts, the Phillips Insurance Agency in Pleasanton.
Dr. Michael Sadoff and Dr. Andrew Sadoff of Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic in Miller believe all of our furry friends, large and small, deserve kind, humane, and loving treatments. They can precondition your calves this fall and ultrasound your heifers and cows either at the clinic or on your farm. Best of luck, Amherst from Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic.
Doug Duda along with Tony Davis back with you here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. High school football, our first score of the evening belongs to Pleasanton, a 54-yard drive that included a fake punt and a hold on 4th and 13 helped Pleasanton keep the drive alive, and it's 8-0 after the 3-yard run by Garrett Reese. And the kick is away. Left-footed kick drives him back to about the 7-yard line at the 10, 15, across the 20, and out to the 22 is Ty Stevens. And, Tony, one thing we noticed when we were down on the field before the ball game, it was a little damp. And you got to wonder, why would it be a little damp? It didn't rain today. The sun hadn't set. You expect it to be. I think as this game gets along, it's going to be a little slick out there for these guys. And maybe that's one way Amherst is trying to slow down Pleasanton's running game.
Yeah, you know, I think, somebody might have forgot to turn off the sprinklers this morning. But that's what one would think. But it'd be interesting to see how it affects this game down the stretch.
Second series of the ball game for Amherst. And it'll be off the right side for a short yardage here, Leffelholtz. He'll lean forward to the 25, a gain of 2.
Now Lucas Mills right there again, wrapping up his ankles. And it's not like he's taking big shots that could knock somebody out of a ball game, but they just wrap up your ankles and drop you immediately.
Amherst just has to focus a little bit here. They thought that they had committed the 3-and-out on Pleasanton, and they ran that fake punt on him and got it by a half a yard and then kept the drive alive. So now it's second down and 8 at their own 25-yard line. Again, I formation. And Halligan will pitch it to the right side and nowhere to go for Dibber. He keeps the legs going. Good job of dragging a couple of tacklers forward for 2 yards. Hit 2 yards at the backfield and fell forward for a positive gain of 2. Caleb Pritchard was in there. Lucas Mills was in there.
Aaron Winberg, I think, was the first man there. And he just spun off of him and that drug 3 people down the field.
Ron Evans telling me that this is not the fastest team that he has ever had, and so he may be limited in whether he wants to get outside. Definitely Leffelholtz is the guy that's probably going to be able to get you outside, and he's mixed up. Sometimes Dibbern's the fullback. Sometimes Luffelholtz is the fullback. Right now, Luffelholtz is the I-back on third and six. Again, I formation. Halligan hasn't thrown it yet. The pitch is fumbled. Luffelholtz picks it up on the bounce, but that killed all the momentum, and he is not going to make it back to the line of scrimmage. Dropped for a one-yard loss at the 26.
Yeah, Cole Pritchard was the first man there, and I think these guys do a good enough job. They know what a tough runner these Amherst kids are, so they're staying very, very low. Once again, just throws his legs out from under him.
It's Crete 12, Omaha Scott nothing. Hastings St. Cecilia leads Kearney Catholic 28-0 in the second. Sergeant leads Crete Valley 14-0 at the end of the first. Elsewhere, Wood River leading Central City 28-0.
Oh.
In the Battle of Brothers at the end of the first, McCook leads Aurora 18-7 mid-second. Second punt of the night now for Amherst. Halligan stands at his 16-yard line. High, very short kick straight up in the air, and it is going to bounce and then take a Pleasanton kick back towards midfield. It's going to be spotted somewhere between the 35 and 40 on the far sideline. They're going to mark it at the 36-yard line. So, Tony, only an 18-yard punt.
Yeah, Doug, one more quick score to pass along. Kearney High at the half leads Lincoln East 6-0. 6-0 is the score at halftime at Ron and Carol Cope Stadium.
We'll have more scores when we get to the quarter break. Blue Hill leading Sutton 10-0. Grand Island leading Omaha Bryan mid-second quarter 21-0. Adams Central leading Hastings High 6-3 early in the second quarter. So Hastings High, a little bit better start this week than last week. First and 10 here, Pleasanton leading 8-0. They'll go with a little counter sweep off the right side. Nichols comes across midfield and into Amherst territory to the 37-yard line. Good chunk of yardage on the play. We'll call it 7 and 2nd and 3 coming up.
Yeah, Dibbern over there on the tackle along with Dalton Kratzer. There's a big old hole on that right side. They found something over there, Doug. They keep going back to that area of the field, and they seem to have a running lane.
Five different players have already carried the football in this contest. 2:45 to go here in the first quarter. 8-0 Pleasanton. Their second possession. Clay Weber lines up on the right side. He's always been running around out there after they break the huddle. Now he'll move a motion from right to left, and they will give it to Weber for his first carry, and he is position, we should say. Logan Luffold shot the gap and drilled him backwards. They're actually going to give him a pretty good spot and say he only lost about a yard and a half. It'll be third down and 4 at the 39-yard line of Amherst.
I'm going to think that might have been a play they saw in the film from a year ago, because Lavalos just shot a gap and just hammered Weber to the ground.
So third and 4 now for Pleasanton at the Amherst 39-yard line with 2 minutes to go first quarter. Pro set split the backs. Janacek straight drop back 5 yards. He will look to throw it out here to the flat, and it's complete to Reese, and he'll be spun out of bounds right inside the 20 at the 19-yard line. The tackle made by Dalton Kratzer. But a good chunk of yards, 20 on the play, and it's first and 10.
You know, give credit to the offensive line that time. No pressure at all on the quarterback, Janacek, that time. He just stood back there, waited for those routes to develop, and then threw a strike to Reese.
Well, that's going to be the roll of the dice for Amherst tonight. When they did blitz, the guys are getting behind him, and when they don't bring the pressure, then they don't get to the quarterback, and Janacek, a beautiful throw. First and 10 at the 19. Turn and hand it off on the right side. Nichols got some room. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Pleasanton. They went to the weak side that time, and Nichols went virtually untouched into the end zone for a 19-yard score, and it's 14-0 Bulldogs.
Yeah, good job that time once again with that offensive side of the line. Looked like they had a linebacker that maybe they've got him going for a fake or something, just taking himself out of the play, and there was nobody between Nichols and the end zone.
Some pretty good blocking out there. I think maybe Lucas Mills was one of the guys that
he's the one that sealed it on
up. Yeah.
The linebacker to the inside, I think.
He's getting some slaps on the back anyway. And now they're going to put Reese in the backfield for a two-point conversion. Janacek, quarterback draw, tries to follow him, and he's not going to get in. Good job there by the defense, led by number 57, Jake Sadoff, to blow that play up. Dibbern was in there as well. Also trying to help out was Kratzer, so the two-point conversion is no good. With a minute 47 to go here in the first quarter of play, it's Pleasanton 14 and Amherst nothing. You're listening to high school football on Classic Hits 98.9.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Trotter Fertilizer and Trotter Service of Pleasanton is proud to support the area athletes. See Trotters in Pleasanton when you need on-site farm service, including bulk fuels and tire service. Trotters is here to keep your autos and farm equipment rolling. Trotter Fertilizer and Service in Pleasanton. Good luck, Bulldogs.
Well, two possessions and two scores here for the defending state semifinalists. And we've got more scores from the Valentino's hotline. We deliver the scores. They deliver the pizza. Northwest, middle of the second, leading Lexington 13-0. And near half, Hastings leading Adams Central 9-6. That would be the shocker of the night right there.
Yeah, certainly that was unexpected. Adams Central, of course, a longtime power, and Hastings still trying to find themselves a little bit.
Clay Weber boots it away again right down the middle of the field to the 2-yard line, and this time it's up to the 10, the 15, the 20, lowering his shoulder out to the 25-yard line is Ty Stevens, and the kicker Clay Weber had to bring him down right there. Had he not got over and filled that gap, it could have been off to the end zone for Stevens. But again, pretty decent coverage by Pleasanton, and Amherst will start inside their 30 for the third straight time.
But Clay Weber absolutely took a shot, though, to make that tackle. It was a good touchdown-saving tackle, but he took the brunt of the blow, certainly.
Amherst looking for their first down, and they'll go out of a shotgun set here with the quarterback Halligan kind of offset to the right side. So it's a direct snap to Dibbern, and he will follow Halligan straight ahead for a couple of yards. So Ron Evans, who always has more wrinkles in his offense than just about any eight-man coach, not just in the area, but maybe in the state, and that's going to be a 2-yard gain for Dibbern.
Well, Caleb Pritchard just fires through there. You know, and it's a quick snap. It's a straight-ahead play, but it's a very, very tough 3 yards for Dibbern.
So the ball moved out to the 28-yard line. We'll call it second down and 7. Same formation, 2 split backs, and Halligan just off to the right side. This time to Luffelholt. Finds a little crease, runs over a man at the 30, and Weber has to hold on to bring him down at the 34. A yard short of the first down, but a 6-yard gain for Luffelholt, his best run of the night.
Joe Weber did a good job in there, only a sophomore, but I'm going to have to think that Mills and some of those upperclassmen are going to take him under the wing and say, hey, buddy, you got to get down around the shin region and take those guys down instead of taking blows like you're taking.
Well, it's not exactly a wildcat, but to Amherst, kind of giving Pleasanton a little bit of their own medicine. Second and 1, I formation. Will Halligan keep it on the sneak? Third and 1, excuse me. Give it to Dibbern, left side, first down. They were going for the quarterback sneak, but Dibbern took it off the left side, across the 35 to the 36, where Garrett Reese was waiting to bring him down. And we'll call it a 2-yard, maybe a 3-yard gain out to the 36-yard line.
That's some good hitting that time. Jason Nichols actually clips Dibbern's feet out from under him, and then Reese just slammed him to the ground.
That's the first down of the football game here for Amherst. They will have to run one more play here before the end of the quarter. We're down to 15 seconds. Pleasanton up 14-0. But Amherst with their first down. First and 10 just across their own 36-yard line back to the I formation. Will Halligan go to the air for the first time? No, handoff right side a little low, and Luffelholtz had to grip it before he could get up the field. It slid down from his waist down to about his knee, and that'll be the end of the first quarter of play as he lunges forward for a couple out to the 38-yard line. So Luffelholtz will get 2, and that'll be the end of the first quarter of play of the season for these two teams. On the road at Amherst, Pleasanton has a 14-0 lead, and we'll be back with more high school football in 1 minute.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in the game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, you can get hurt, and they can help. Dr. Lauren specializes in the treatment of foot and ankle problems. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Symatic and Pleasanton Irrigation offer you big saving choices when you purchase your new system. Order soon and take advantage of both low interest rates and rebates. Pleasanton Irrigation says go Dawgs.
The staff and management of State Bank of Riverdale in Riverdale are very proud to support all our area athletes and coaches in the game. Visit us in our main office in Riverdale or one of our loan production offices in Kearney and Ord. State Bank of Riverdale, member FDIC.
Pleasanton Meat Processing is your custom beef and pork processors, and they can handle it all. USDA steaks are available, they can smoke your orders, and they have barbecue beef and pork. Pleasanton Meat Processing says, tear them up, Bulldog.
Along with Tony Davis, I'm Doug Duda from Amherst. As always, a big thank you to our many fine sponsors and Athletic Director Ron Evans, Tom Moore, the entire Roger Thompson, all the folks here at Amherst for their hospitality. At the end of one, Pleasanton 14, Amherst nothing, but Amherst on their third drive has now picked up their first down of the ball game, and they have a second and seven at their own 38-yard line. Garrett Reese and Jason Nichols have the touchdown run so far for Pleasanton. Direct snap here to Dibbern. Looks off the right side. He's going to drag a man with him across midfield, and for the first time, Amherst is into Pleasanton territory. And Tony, that time I believe that was Brady Darby over there, I think, trying to run him down from behind. He didn't make the tackle, but tried to slow him down a little bit. Might have been Cadence Wiener, too.
I think for the first time tonight, they're maybe letting some of those Pleasanton kids get out of position, take themselves out of the play, overrun the play, then they duck up underneath and pick up positive yardage.
Dibbern is going to pick up three more yards, and it's third down and four at the Pleasanton 37. They'll split the backs, and Halligan, again, offset. They're looking for a direct snap to one of the backs. This time, Luffelholtz off the right side. Gets two good blocks, but his, boy, second effort might have got there. He bounced off of Caleb Pritchard, and it looks like he just got enough on that lunge to get the first down, and another first down for Amherst. A gain of five for Luffelholtz, who had just 6 yards on five carries. Dibbern, 11 yards on four carries for a total of 17 yards in the first quarter for Amherst.
Yeah, Doug, that was Cadence Wiener over there. Actually had him about right at the line of scrimmage, and once he turned that corner, he lost the handle on that jersey and just shot forward for about four.
Pleasanton has Jason Nichols, the leading rusher, five carries, 39 yards, and a touchdown. Janicek, 2 for 3, 45 yards through the air. Now back under center, draw play right up the middle, and a huge hole for Dibbard, and he should have another first down across the 25, close to the 23. It just depends where they see his knee went down at. He kind of got tripped up more than the safety tripped him up. It's going to be a 9-yard game for Dibbard, and it'll be second down and one. So Amherst finally has something going here, Tony.
Well, he made a nice cutback right in the middle of the field, and Jason Nichols was there to make the touchdown-saving tackle.
Well, and since Pleasanton has scored on both their drives, you kind of figure Amherst needs to get in here to keep this game competitive. 10:15 to go, first half, 14-0 Pleasanton. To bring him down right at the first down marker. Didn't need much. Don't know that he got enough, though.
Yeah, Reese and Cole Pritchard there as well. I think you're right, though, Doug. They're not going to measure this. They're just going to say first down. Probably was a first down by about a football and a half, I think.
So all first downs for Amherst are on this drive. First down and 10 at the Pleasanton 23-yard line with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. Pleasanton 14 and Amherst nothing. A little confusion as Amherst breaks the huddle, maybe about where the count snap was. They're going to be unbalanced, strong to the right side this time. Halligan is under center. He will turn and give it on a little counter to Luffelholtz, and a good read that time by Cole Pritchard not to let him get outside. Got three up to the 20, but that's designed to be a big play. And if Pritchard's not paying attention, it would have been with the speedy Luffelholtz.
Yeah, Doug, if you notice across the field there by the flag, a host of Loomis Wolves taking in this game tonight, checking out the Pleasanton Bulldogs, I believe, the opponent next week.
Yeah, Loomis had to play last week in that week zero, their bye week this week after they dismantled Harvard. They'll get a big test next week against Pleasanton. Amherst is in the Loomis district. Bob Jensen at Huskerland Prep picked Loomis to win the district and Amherst to be second, so Loomis will play both these teams. And Amherst a little late getting up to the line of scrimmage. They're going to call their first timeout of the ball game.
You know, we got to see Loomis and Pleasanton, of course, in the playoffs last year. Game that kind of went lopsided that second half, kind of let Pleasanton was able to pull away. A pretty good first half, and then they were able to pull away the second half. But some of those sophomores that contributed so much to Loomis Wolves a year ago look to step up into bigger roles and maybe turn the tables this year. We'll have to wait and see. Looks to me, though, the Pritchard boys Garrett Reeves, just the size is going to be so difficult to stop this team.
9:13 to go, first half, Pleasanton 14, Amherst nothing, and we'll be right back.
Whatever machining you need done, large jobs or small, see Hand Machining of Pleasanton. Hand Machining is a general machine shop serving Pleasanton and surrounding area. Get it done right. Get it done by Hand Machining of Pleasanton.
Trotter Fertilizer and Trotter Service of Pleasanton is proud to support the area athletes. See Trotters in Pleasanton when you need on-site farm service, including bulk fuels and tire service. Trotters is here to keep your autos and farm equipment rolling. Trotter Fertilizer and Service in Pleasanton. Good luck, Bulldogs.
Amherst, out of their first time out of the ball game, will face second down and seven at the 20-yard line of Pleasanton, trailing 14-0, 9:13 to go in the first half. Halligan, again, counter, ball's fumbled, it's on the ground, Pleasanton has covered it. Pleasanton has recovered a fumble, they tried to get that counter to Luffelholtz, and it is fumbled, and on top, football,
that's Pates.
Austin Pates, he was back there with Nichols, and Pates just reached out and rolled it into his arms in the first turnover of the football game.
Doug, they just sent too many people. They had more bodies than Amherst could block that time. You have penetration in the backfield. It's just chaos. Somebody loses track of the football. Pates right there to fall on it.
Well, that is not what Amherst wanted to see. They finally got something going here and then turned the football over. So 9:08 to go here in the first half, and Pleasanton could really take a step towards victory with a score on this drive. They'll hand it off left side, Nichols, by Dylan Halligan. After he got to the line of scrimmage, he's thrown back. It's going to be a gain of a yard out to the 24.
Yeah, they kind of ran into each other, and everybody kind of stood up. Wasn't one of those tackles. And then they got a little help, and things went backwards.
Don't forget, each and every ball game, halftime report brought to you by our friends at Ravenna Sanitation. We'll run down the first half stats, give you all the scores from the area, from the Valentino score line. If you've got a score, text it to us, 308-646-0506. Give us the score of the game, what quarter it's in, where it's at in the game, and we'll pass it along to everyone. 308-646-0506. And we're going to have a delay of game penalty here against Pleasanton.
You know, that's something, you know, you get out of that first quarter, you think you're rolling, you score two touchdowns in a row, you think, well, we've got this defense figured out, we're really going to be able to go now, and then you shoot yourself in the foot. You know, it's disappointing when you do that, and I know Ricky's over there shaking his head.
There's some things you're going to have to overcome. And that'll back him up to second down and 13 yards to go. Leading it 14-0. 8:23 to go in the first half. And Janicek back to pass. He throws a little underneath. Weber's wide open on the crossing route. Complete. Immediately brought down there at the 30-yard line by Ty Stevens. They're going to get about 10. And that'll bring up third and three. Nice pass play for Janicek.
Yeah, Janicek is just throwing strikes all night long. Of course, he had time to stand back there. Nice tackle on the outside by Ty Stevens. Wrapped him up and dropped him to the ground immediately. You know, that's a tackle. If he doesn't make that tackle, he's off for six.
One of the big games of the night, McCook 18, Hastings 15, or McCook 18, Aurora 15 at the half. And here's penalty flags on the snap. Hastings St. Cecilia leads Kearney Catholic 35-0 at the half.
Yeah,
and offside's going to be called here on the offense of Pleasanton. And the sad thing about that is, Tony, Kearney Catholic should be one of the two or three best teams St. Cecilia plays during the regular season.
Yeah, that's you knew it was a big deal when they've been ruling C1 for so long, and then they dropped down to C2. Kind of shake your head a little bit. And, of course, this year Howells also drops down to D2. Another one that's a head-scratcher.
Grand Island with a nice lead at the half over Omaha Bryant, 28-0. A team we saw last week, Donovan Trumbull, leads Twin River at the half, 7-0. Janicek back to pass over the middle. Reese is wide open, and he's got the first down across the 35. Luffelholtz will bring him down at the 37-yard line, a gain of 12.
Very seldom in Class D football, I don't care if the quarterback's got time or not, these balls are right to his receivers, perfectly positioned, right to their hands. They're not reaching for the ball. They're not going out of any comfort zone. He is throwing strikes this whole first half.
Well, obviously, Pleasanton breaking down that Potter-Dix game film from last year and like to see some of that passing game. Here's a reverse on first down and 10, and Deburn smells it out, and Clay Weber had nobody to block for him as he went from left to right, and he's going to be knocked down about a half yard short of the line of scrimmage. We'll keep it at second and 10.
Yeah, good job that time at Deburn identifying the play coming back his way and just immediately zeroing in on that ball carrier.
Of course, last year, Pleasanton beating an overmatched Potter Dix team in the first round of the playoffs, who threw the ball about 40, 45 times. That's what they did. They spread the field.
40, 45,
well, I don't 75. Think they had, I don't think they had many more offensive plays than that. Yeah, they threw it 85% of the time. Second down and 10 at their own 37. Janicek on the option is going to keep it. And a pitch at the ball's fumbled, and it's still loose. I think Pleasanton covered it because Amherst didn't see it. They got in so quickly, hit the running back, hit the quarterback, but didn't see where the ball went.
Now Jason Nichols, the one that covers that football up for his Bulldog team to keep possession of that football.
That is a big, big cover there because that was really the first time we've seen the option carried out like that by Pleasanton tonight, to faking the pass, and then after he took that two steps down the line, they went. And Janicek went to pitch it, didn't get it. So it's third and 10. Pleasanton's been good at converting a couple of long yardage situations. Weber lined up as the single wing. Janicek rolls right, wants to pass, has some pressure finally, and down he goes. Coming in there and making him turn back against himself was Spencer Landis, and then Jake Sadoff was able to jump on it. He might have actually tripped over his own feet, Tony, but the pressure was there. He was trying to get out of there and slipped and fell down.
I was just going to say, Doug, it could be the first sign of that wet, damp grass, too. He went to cut and get away, and his leg just went out from under him. But, yes, there was plenty of red jerseys closing in on him.
Well, Cole Pritchard should probably punt it this time. Remember, they ran a fake earlier. It's fourth and 20, and this one's a nice spiral. They kick it away from Stevens, but he does pick it up at the 25 out to the 28-yard line. That's a pretty nice punt that time. It'll be 3 yards on the punt and the return of about eight with 5:21 to go here in the first half. Pleasanton 14 and Amherst nothing. Pleasanton has scored on their first two possessions. Amherst didn't get a first down to their last possession. They moved it inside the 20 and then fumbled the football and finally able to come up with a defensive stop here against Pleasanton. So each team with two timeouts remaining. Can Amherst get something going again? This is the team that's going to have to run the ball. They have yet to attempt the pass, although they're going to spread the field here. Halligan in the shotgun with Dibber to his right, three wide receivers. Will they try a draw? They haven't thrown it yet. Halligan, there it is. Quarterback fakes the draw. Went too late. He thought about it. Now coming in to tackle him, Garrett Reese. Halligan took a step and saw that it wasn't open, so he backed up. And by that time, Reese knew what was going on, and he didn't have to set back as a linebacker in pass protection. He came strong and got him for a yard loss.
Yeah, Halligan at 6'2" did a good job that time. It was just kind of a strange tackle. Got his legs up out of the way so he didn't get pinned underneath him. It was just kind of an awkward tackle there. It could have been a disaster, but good job by both of those guys for avoiding that.
Clock continues to run with 4:45. Same formation to the short side. Shotgun Halligan, three down linemen. Halligan wants to throw across the middle, and this one is complete to Luffelholtz. A quick little slant, didn't get a whole lot, across the 30 to about the 32 or 33, maybe a six-yard gain. And it'll bring up third down and about four, maybe five. I'll say it's a five-yard pass play, Tony. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a strike from Halligan, though. A well-thrown pass, Clay Weber right there on the defense.
Yeah, it's pretty well defended. It was just a great pass and catch.
Right.
Five, though, they need the first down. Halligan back to pass, has time, looks deep, covered. No one to throw to. Now Luffelholtz comes out in a pass interference. Clay Weber hooked him at the 30-yard line. Probably didn't have to. Luffelholtz, though, got the beat on it. He got the step on him, and a pass interference will be called here, and a first down coming up for Amherst.
Doug, Halligan was on the move, and that was an absolute rope down the field. You can tell what a strong arm this kid has. Hopefully maybe they can develop some targets for him down the field and get some people open and make some big plays happen. Yeah, I don't think that pass is going to be catchable. It's well over his head.
It's going to be a 15-yard penalty down to the 31-yard line, first and 10 now. Maybe that'll give Coach Evans a little more confidence in Halligan. He's thrown two good balls here. He'll stay spread. Halligan to pass, pressure. He avoids it, and he's not going to avoid the second man. Cole Pritchard was there. The ball's loose, but that should be called down, right, Tony?
Well, I think they're going to move it back to where it was originally tackled. Of course,
Halligan lost his hat.
Maybe they're not. They're going to say that was a fumble and recovered by Amherst. So a good job of staying in the ball game right there and recovering a football, because that was a live ball, they're saying. Then it saved them about 3 yards.
It's going to be a loss of 7 on the sack and the fumble. Second down and 17. Halligan just didn't have enough time after he eluded Cole Pritchard. Then Garrett Reese was there. They'll learn him that if you get away from that first guy, throw it away. Second and 17 at the 38 of Pleasanton, 14-0 Bulldogs. Halligan back to pass all day. Throws over the middle, but throws it behind the intended receiver, Leffelholtz, at the 26. Amherst wanted a pass interference, but you're not going to get it when you throw it that far behind your receiver. Good protection that time, but also Pleasanton that time elected to kind of drop back and not bring everybody after the young man with a long yardage situation.
Yeah, you know, a team that's, they freely admitted going in that, hey, we think the kid's got a strong arm. We don't know if we get any receivers that can get down the field and catch it. You know what? Pass is thrown behind him there, but at 3rd and 17, you got to do it again.
Shockey and Stevens wide left to get out of the shotgun. Halligan with Dibbern back there. Haven't seen him throw it to him yet. Dibbern wants to block. They'll throw down the field. Got a man. It's completed the 20, the 15, and then a late hit out of bounds, and there's a flag to go on top of it at the 12-yard line. First down catch called in by Ty Stevens. Great pass by Halligan.
You know, Doug, over here, they've got another white line where the 10, the little pop-up deal that says where the 10-yard line is. And I got to think that Paint thought that was the out-of-bounds line when he shoved him, because about 3 yards from where the actual sideline is.
So it'll be a personal foul, the 7th penalty of the half here on Pleasanton, and it should move it half the distance to the goal from between the 11 and 12 to between the 5 and the 6. It'll officially be first and goal at the 6-yard line for Amherst, trailing at home on opening night 14-0 to their backyard rival from Pleasanton. And they've had a little success out of the spread. This time, 4 wide. Halligan to the backfield.
There's going to be a false start.
No, a timeout, Pleasanton, oh. Tony. Coach Ricky Westland running down the sideline. His team hadn't seen this before. And Coach Westland wants to keep him out of the end zone. So timeout on the defense by Pleasanton with 3:03 to go in the first half. Pleasanton 14, Amherst nothing. The Broncos have it first and goal when we come back.
Age 50 or older? Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
The guys at Husker Tech are proud to support our Amherst Broncos. Call on Husker Tech for farm building, steel or wood construction, commercial and residential remodeling, and concrete work. They do everything but the dishes. Husker Tech, find them in the Overton phone book.
First and goal for Amherst at the Pleasanton 6-yard line. Again, out of the spread formation, throw it outside to Leffelholtz. He tries to come in an inside screen and runs right in to Caleb Pritchard at the line of scrimmage. Usually you see that pass thrown right down the line, Tony, but in the shotgun it was actually thrown forward. That's kind of the old Florida football play. They try to cut it back up inside after the catch, and they're actually going to lose about a yard and a half between the 7 and the 8.
Well, Ty Stevens down the field, I think, had the corner sealed if he went outside. I think Ty's saying, come this way. He ran right back into where all the traffic was.
Key possession here. Amherst trying to get on the board and get it into halftime. Second and goal from the 7. Again, shotgun. Halligan calls the signal. Back to pass. Here comes pressure over the middle. Two players collide, and the ball falls. Amherst ran a pair of slant patterns, and Leffelholtz and Stevens flat out ran into each other. And the Pleasanton defenders were kind of running into each other as well. All 4 went to the ground, and the ball popped up for just a moment and fell incomplete. And now Amherst wants to call a timeout. It's 3rd and goal.
Yeah, that was a little bit strange. had all this traffic, pretty well-thrown pass that time. Could have been caught.
It was a great pass. Had there only been one red jersey there, it probably would have been a touchdown. So whether it was miscommunication or not, we'll have to check. Let's go to the Valentino's score line. Valentino's delivers the pizza. We deliver all of the scores. And at the half, it is Minden 14, Gothenburg 14. At the half, Eustis Farnham leads Elwood 28-0. Sargent, all the way out in Chapel playing Creek Valley, leads it after one, 28-6. At the half, mid-third now, Kearney 6, Lincoln East 0. Also at the half, St. Cecilia leading Kearney Catholic 35-0. McCook leading Aurora 18-15.
Also, Holdridge is taking a 17-7 lead over Gehring in one of those terrible bus rides of the years of the year for Gehring.
Again, if you are at a ball game and want to give us the score of that one, text it to us at 646-0506. 308-646-0506. We'll let everybody know on the Valentino score line. 2:17 to go, first half. Pleasanton leads Amherst 14-0. It's third and goal. Amherst at the Pleasanton 7-yard line, staying out of that spread. They've got two wide left and back to pass. Halligan rolls left, stop, fires, and it is incomplete as he led his wide receiver, Ty Stevens, just a little too much, and that'll bring up fourth and goal. And, of course, it's go for a time here for Amherst.
You know, in pregames, they did have that was kicking the ball from well within that range. I don't know if you got a chance for 3 points. If you're going to do that when you're down by two touchdowns, probably not in the eight-man game.
Well, Amherst has used the field goal kicker, of course, when they had Housden here doing some good things. But they have had kickers lately, but they're not going to use it here. Fourth and goal at the 7. Can Pleasanton turn them away? Halligan all by himself. The blitz, the ball batted into the air, and it's incomplete. As up the middle to knock it down was Garrett Reese. Reese came untouched up the middle on a blitz. And it went ricocheting right off of his hands and incomplete. Pleasanton will take over with 2:10 to go in the half.
You know what? You take a lot away from that drive, though, if you're Amherst. You moved the football. You found some things that worked a little bit. Halligan's maybe got to take the throttle back on the pass. It looks like he's really firing the ball in there. So maybe he takes his time and becomes a little bit more accurate with it.
Well, those slant patterns is what's been working, except for the one out on the flat. Now Amherst has got to make a stop here. Still time for Pleasanton at their own 7. Hand it off to Pate. Starts right, cuts back left, gets across the 10 and out to about the 11-yard line. Maybe stretching it towards the 12. We'll call it a 4-yard gain for Pate. And the clock runs. Pleasanton has just one timeout. And unless they bust a big one here, I think Coach Westland will be more than satisfied to get into the locker room. They scored on their first two possessions, but the score has not changed here. The second quarter remains 14-0. Pleasanton hustles out of the huddle here and goes to a 3-wide format, but Janicek's going to hand it off and hit in the backfield. Pates comes forward for another yard or two, and in there is Spencer Landis again to help make the tackle.
Yeah, Doug, pretty conservative approach here by Ricky Westland, as well as Janicek has thrown the football this first half. Be real easy to go down there, try and fire it down the field, and then score again. But when you're that far deep in your end zone, maybe just take the ball to halftime and try and regroup.
Jacob Sadoff also in on the tackle, playing the nose guard. Third down and 6 at their own 12. Janicek under center, single wing to the left side. Janicek's going to drop back to pass. Looks out here into the flat, and he's got Cole Pritchard at the 20, 25, 30, and drug down at the 37-yard line by Dibbern. And a first down with 54 seconds to go, a gain of 25.
Okay, there you saw the unconservative approach. You get somebody on the outside, another very well-placed football, hits Richard in stride, and down the sideline he goes.
Janicek is doing very well. He's 5 of 6, every completion, 10 yards or more. Split the backs and back to pass Janicek. Looking deep, down the middle, throws it long, trying to get it to Reese, and it is in and out of his hands at the 13-yard line. Garrett Reese was double covered, but he had Luffelholtz and Stevens behind him, and the ball, he actually had to come back for it. It was like he was looking for a pop fly because it was thrown pretty high that time, which you want to do. Reese is bigger than anybody that they can put back there defensively for Amherst, and hobbling off the field right here, getting rolled up on is Jacob Sadoff. Hopefully he's okay, and an injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. They'll get you back into the game with locations in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, and now Lexington. Doesn't look severe, Tony, but probably enough that'll keep him out the final 43 seconds here of the half. And that'll bring up second down and 10 at their own 37. Janacek back to pass. Sideline wide open. Weber, 20, 15, going to be brought down just short of the 15 and out of bounds at the 17-yard line. Boy, he was wide open. They hadn't thrown it to him yet, and you could tell that hadn't covered him the whole way. That's going to be a gain of 25 more yards.
That Janacek continues to impress here in this first half with his arm, and now Reese comes back into the ballgame and gives you that big target down the middle of the field. I think probably 36.6 seconds you're going to throw a jump ball up to him and let him go up and get it.
This is where Ron Evans had to worry when they didn't get into the end zone that there was time here for Pleasanton. First and 10 at the 18. Janicek back to pass. Pump fake, corner of the end zone. Might have overthrown him. Interference. That's an easy call. Garrett Reese. They just ran right into him there. Trying to get down there was Kratzer and Luffelholtz, and they just put their arm up and ran smack dab into him.
Now, there was a jump ball to Reese. You think with 36 seconds, maybe you'd have waited until he was running out of time, but they went to it right away, and it was going to be there had they not interfered with him.
Well, they've moved it down the field basically here in about 33 seconds because it was about a minute 10 when they snapped the ball on third and six and completed that 25-yard pass that got him down to the 37-yard line. This will be a half the distance to the goal penalty and move it to the 9-yard line. First down and goal at the 9. 29 seconds. Pleasanton does have a timeout, so they can run it if they choose. Pates is the lone man in the backfield. Weber's going to set up in that single wing, cocked on the right side. With a double tight end. Janicek back to pass. Looks weak side. Got a man wide open. Weber caught. Touchdown Pleasanton. They drug him from the right wing all the way across the middle and nobody picked him up. A 9-yard touchdown pass from Colin Janicek to Clay Weber. And it's 20-0 Bulldogs.
Yeah, he's angled in on that wing back position. You think he's going to be a blocker. Then he sneaks out in there. Goes all the way across the formation. After he's about four steps past you, Dylan Kratzer says, uh-oh, I think that was my guy. And another strike from Janicek put six on the board.
Well, what an impressive first half here for Colin Janicek. And talking to coaches Ricky Westland and Rocky Hatch before the game, Tony, we were talking about all these young, small backs and maybe having to go wildcat and do some of the things that they did last year. They're not doing that. It wasn't really working running it, so they're throwing the football, and it has been money, only two incompletions.
Yeah, you think, you know, they're going to get in a position where if you got people that can be covered down the field, down the road against this team, that they're going to be able to tuck it up and run some veer, run some option, get them on the outside. They're just a load to bring down, and they run very well for the size that they are, especially in that Class D level.
Timeout taken here before the two-point conversion. Didn't see which team called.
Pleasanton did. Took it.
Going to be their final timeout. With 23 seconds, he's trying to decide what they want to do. So they went for two the first two times, got it in the first time. Second time, they tried a quarterback draw, and Janicek didn't quite get in. And so they're discussing the conversion here with 23 seconds to go. Coming up, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report, the first half stats, breakdown of the first half of the ball game, all of the scores from around the area, and a preview of what's coming up next week here on KKPR.
Still ball coach Ron Long taking in the action tonight. Good to see him, as always.
Here we go for the two-point conversion. They'll set up in a split-back formation. Janicek wants to throw. Goes to the corner of the end zone. And a diving, leaping catch by Cole Pritchard. The official had to wait for him to roll over to see if he had the ball. He left his feet and found a way to haul it in. That's a beautiful two-point conversion to Cole Pritchard. 23 seconds to go in the half. Pleasanton 22, Amherst nothing. We'll be right back on Classic Hits 98.9.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustis Body Shop, that's who we are.
Trust the experts when it comes to your hearing or hearing aid products. At ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, our university-trained audiologists provide individualized care. Caring for our community, one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
And welcome back to high school football on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at kkpr.com. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, our producer-engineer Stacy Johns with you tonight from Amherst, and so far it's been Pleasanton. Got off to a quick start, then Amherst looked like they were going to turn the tide, but they fumbled inside the 20, had the ball first and goal at the 6, couldn't get in on the next series, and then Pleasanton takes it down the field here in less than 2 minutes after turning them away at the goal line with Colin Janicek throwing it all the way down the field. And it is 22-0 in favor of Pleasanton. They'll boot it away here, and it'll be taken at about the 15-yard line. Stevens up to 20, and nothing doing there. Tackle is made. It'll be first down and 10. Getting in there to make that one for Pleasanton, Tony. Was that Cole Pritchard again?
Yeah, Pritchard, number 35, becoming a mainstay in on every play. Him and Garrett Reese, the two numbers you called tonight. I got to think they're having to double teams with people up front like Lucas Mills, probably freeing those guys up. They've come through untouched I don't know how many times tonight. That's something going to have to be fixed at halftime if you're Ron Evans and the staff.
Well, only one timeout. Ball at your own 20-yard line. 18 seconds left. You sure don't want to make a mistake here. Halligan's shown, though, that he can throw the ball down the field, so they'll go four wide receivers and out of the shotgun Halligan. They could get maybe three plays off. Halligan, under pressure, throws over the middle. The ball is deflected off Dibbern's hand. Clay Weber was there. That slant just right to the middle of the field is what they like, and he was open, just couldn't hold onto that one incomplete.
Yeah, pretty well-thrown pass again. I think it maybe came a little bit quickly, a little quicker than Dibbern wanted the play to develop a little bit more as he had a step on Weber. Nonetheless, goes right off his hands. You know, another really, really hot pass, though. Halligan showing off the arm.
Yeah, Halligan, his first varsity start, just a little more touch. Those balls are going to be hot. He's throwing it like Cody Green, Tony. Second down and 10. Out of the shotgun, pump fake. Wants to go deep. He's got a man here, but overshoots Stevens. And Pates didn't know where the ball was playing in the safety position. Had he caught that ball, and it was overthrown, had he caught that, Pate didn't know where he was. That was going to be a touchdown, but he overthrew him at the 35-yard line of Pleasanton. Clock stops with 9 seconds, and it'll be third down and 10. So for as good and as close as the passes have been, Halligan is still only 3 for 9 here, all of those coming in the second quarter. And now a timeout will be called by Amherst, and that's the final timeout here of the first half of play. 9 seconds to go, 22-0, Pleasanton with the lead. Let's go back to the Valentino's hotline in Grand Island after giving up an 11-point lead last week to Norfolk, is just crushing Omaha Bryan 42-0 at the half, and we finally have a touchdown at Foster Field. Kearney 13, Lincoln East nothing late in the third quarter of play.
Yeah, that's good news for the Bearcats. I think they're expecting to win that ball game. Also, Aurora 21, McCook 18, Doug, and the Dusters still 17-7 over Gearing at the half in that one. You mentioned Sargent. That's one of those bus trips. You know, Gearing coming to Holdridge, Sargent having to go out all the way to Chapel. Another long road trip. And
you know, Gibbon going to Ainsworth tonight. So there's some crisscrossing. Not here, though. Pleasanton, Amherst. If you're really athletic, you could run or walk between these two cities. 9 seconds to go. First half, it's third down and 10. Amherst at their own 20-yard line. They just used their last timeout, so if they can pull something here, they'd want to get out of bounds. Halligan back to pass. Throws over the middle. Dibbern, great catch. He's got the first down. He had to tip it to himself across the 35 out to the 38. Amherst is going to have to get up and spike the ball. It's an 18-yard completion with 4 seconds to go in the half. Great catch by Dibbern. Able to find it, tip it to himself, and hit down the football field.
Well, I think Pates couldn't believe he caught it, and then he put a lick on Dibbern.
The clock's running. They won't spike it. They're going to have to go deep. Halligan back to pass, throws it over the middle, and a huge hit put on Stevens there, who made the catch or did not make the catch at the 30-yard line. It doesn't matter. Time has expired. They will call it a catch. So give him a 12 yards on the completion, and that'll help out the stats there a little bit. Amherst moved the ball after the first quarter of play, but, Tony, they've got nothing on the scoreboard to shoot for it.
You know, it'd be interesting to see what they do at halftime because they totally scrapped their game plan basically from one quarter to the next. But we'll see what Ron Evans can come up with. But it looks to me like the passing game is something they've had at least a little bit of limited success with here, and they went down the field with it, ran out of downs the one time. But, you know, Pleasanton, though, they've got to do something defensively to stop this team. You know, you think Pleasanton's going to score every time they get the ball unless they do something different.
Well, Dennis Reese and the Loomis Wolves have to be looking at both of these teams and going, they're a little different than what we thought was going to happen. We are at halftime, and we've got a whole lot coming up on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. The score, the Pleasanton Bulldogs 22 and the Amherst Broncos nothing. We'll be back with more from Amherst after this from our fine sponsors.
Misco Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the games begin. Misco's carries brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Columbia, Nike, and more. Get your game on at Misco's now in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
Whatever machining you need done, large jobs or small, see Hand Machining of Pleasanton. Hand Machining is a general machine shop serving Pleasanton and surrounding area. Get it done right. Get it done by Hand Machining of Pleasanton.
We're proud to be recognized as a leading ag bank, proud to be a leading commercial lender, proud that our staff has all the qualities of good hometown folks. We're Town and Country Bank, Ravenna, Litchfield, Pleasanton, and Kearney.
And welcome back to Amherst. A big thank you to our many fine sponsors, as always, as we bring you the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report here on Classic Hits 98.9 at the World Wide Web at kkpr.com. Don't let trash take up all your time at Ravenna Sanitation. They take trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they'll remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County. Pleasanton 22 and Amherst nothing. Pleasanton is taken advantage of when they've moved the ball. Amherst has not. They've moved the ball three drives and have no points on the board to show for it. They have the only turnover of the ball game. Pleasanton converting that fake punt on their first series. They had Amherst three and out. Looked like they were going to be three and out. They had a third and five. They got about a six-yard run there from Pritchard on the fake punt, which eventually led them down the field. They got a holding penalty, defensive holding on fourth down, which we are told by our officiating crew in high school is a 10-yard penalty and not an automatic first down. So it still made it fourth and four. It was fourth and 14. Cut it to fourth and four. They convert that and then score the touchdown. And that really set the tone here for this football game.
You know, another thing we learned is there's no such thing as an uncatchable pass. So when we question the pass interference penalty, it doesn't matter where
right.
The ball is thrown. If they throw it 80 feet over his head, it doesn't matter. When they interfere, it's a penalty, and they go on.
You questioned that?
I did question
that. See, I knew that. I didn't hear you question it. I didn't hear you question it. I knew that. Yeah, in high school football, interference is interference. There's no doubt about it. So 22-0 the score here at the half coming up. All of the first half statistics will go to the Valentino score line and give you some dates from games around the area. And remind you that coming up on Tuesday, we've got high school volleyball for you. We're going to see some top 10 teams. And Gibbons not rated, but they played very well last night, taking a pair of matches. Probably for the first time, I don't know ever, but first time in a lot of years, they beat Ravenna and Adams Central last night. And so they're going to be undefeated going into next week. Minden, Kearney Catholic, and Gibbon at the Minden Triangular starting Tuesday at 5.
Thanks. I think one of those scores is starting to stand out to people. In the third quarter, Hastings High continues to lead Adams Central 9-6, and that's just a huge head scratcher. I think a lot of people would have bet a lot that Adams Central would have taken care of business in that ball game, and I can't believe you would overlook an opponent right there in your own hometown. But maybe what's going on?
Well, Hastings has to be embarrassed of what happened last week. I know the Tigers thought that not only could they compete but beat Schuyler, and they just got crushed last week. I think it was 50-15 was the final score. It was over early in that ball game, so I think they wanted to prove that that is not the football team that they are going to be this year. There were a handful of games last night, Tony, and how about a change? Here's one of those games that shows you a changing of the guard. Brady, 44, and Maxwell, 12. A team that has gotten so close to being in the state finals, and now Brady, a team that had one of those losing streaks a few years ago that was over 20, now gets the win, and 44-12. Big game of the Northeast last night. Two rated teams, Crofton 28, Hardington Cedar Catholic 13. Cedar Catholic made the state finals last year. Crofton was one of the teams that beat them on their way to the state finals.
You know, maybe one of those teams, one of the only few teams that can rival Hastings St. Cecilia this year in Class C2. Many people think it could be the Crofton Tigers.
In six-man last night, Elkhorn Valley beat St. Edward 69-13. In Class A, Millard North over Omaha Burke 21-10. Norfolk Catholic beat Columbus Lakeview 38-3, and Omaha Nation over Omaha St. Peter Claver 36-22, one of the new schools in the state of Nebraska. Here at the half, it's 22-0. Pleasanton with the lead over Amherst. We'll give you a lot more scores at tonight's game when we come back.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits. From its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. Stop by your Buffalo County Farm Bureau office today.
Dr. Michael Sadoff and Dr. Andrew Sadoff of Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic in Miller believe all of our furry friends, large and small, deserve kind, humane, and loving treatments. They can precondition your calves this fall and ultrasound your heifers and cows either at the clinic or on your farm. Best of luck, Amherst from Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
And welcome back. As always, a big thank you to the many fine sponsors that allow us to bring you high school athletics throughout central Nebraska, including Bailey Drywall, Trotter Fertilizer, Pleasanton Meats, Misco Sports, Ravenna Sanitation, Ag West, Tri-Valley Vet, and Pleasanton Irrigation. Just a few of the many fine sponsors bringing you tonight's high school football game here from Amherst, where the home team is trailing Pleasanton 22-0, but the game a little bit closer. Again, we've said it a couple of times here. It was 14-0 at the end of the first. Amherst really controlled the game in the second quarter, but Pleasanton turned them away on a first and goal at the 6. They didn't get in. Under 2 minutes to go, Pleasanton converted a 3rd and 6 with a 25-yard pass, and then Colin Janicek all through the air took him right down the football field. The final 68 yards on that drive were all through the air for Colin Janicek. And that's what happened here so far tonight. Don't forget tomorrow, of course, plenty of college football action for UNK. They will be at UNO tomorrow night. The game is on Nebraska Educational Television, kicking off at 6 o'clock. Hastings College will open their season tomorrow night when they travel to Briar Cliff. Hastings ranked 13th in the country in the NAIA, and Briar Cliff may be one of the best teams they've had ever, if not in just a long, long time. You can hear that on 1230 AM KHAS. Beginning at 5:15, and of course the Huskers open tomorrow night. Our pregame at 1, kickoff at 6:10 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. In volleyball, Hastings College dropped their games today at Bellevue University. UNK, ranked 13th in the country, is in the toughest tournament. It's not a true tournament; it's a round robin get together. But they're playing the number 3 and 5 teams in the country today, and they swept number 5 Central Missouri. Now they're playing number 3 Tampa at this hour. Then tomorrow, Northern Kentucky and Grand Valley State. Grand Valley State was a winner today over the number 1 team in the country and 2-time defending national champions from Concordia St. Paul in a straight set. So some great action for UNK. For the Huskers, they're playing at BYU. That's underway in Provo. Then 2 more games there tomorrow. So that's what's going on. We've got college football on ESPN 1460 and 1550 tomorrow afternoon. Notre Dame, Purdue tomorrow night, North Carolina, LSU, and then, of course, the big one, Labor Day night, Monday, Boise State and Virginia Tech, all on ESPN Radio. And then the NFL gets going on Thursday. Daddy is ready to go. Minnesota Vikings taking on the defending Super Bowl champion, New Orleans Saints.
Now you got to think there'd be offensive firepower all over the field. Of course, Jared Allen would probably beg to differ with me on that. But what a great game to start off the season. What a great atmosphere to start off the season.
Well, let's take a break, and when we do come back, we'll look at the latest scores, including what's going on in Omaha between the number one and two teams of the state on the Valentino's scoreboard. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report on KKPR.
Whatever machining you need done, large jobs or small, see Hand Machining of Pleasanton. Hand Machining is a general machine shop serving Pleasanton and surrounding area. Get it done right. Get it done by Hand Machining of Pleasanton.
The Phillips Insurance Agency proudly supports the Pleasanton Bulldogs. The Phillips Insurance Agency is a full-service crop and life insurance agency. Life insurance rates are changing all the time, so ask for a life checkup today. Your insurance experts, the Phillips Insurance Agency in Pleasanton.
The staff and management of State Bank of Riverdale in Riverdale are very proud to support all our area athletes and coaches in the game. Visit us in our main office in Riverdale or one of our loan production offices in Kearney and Ord. State Bank of Riverdale, member FDIC.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
And welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at KKPR.com. It is time now for a look at the Valentino's scoreboard. Oh, I could use some right now. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before or after the game or call for one of their great pieces. Carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Daddy, start me off with the number one and two teams in the state.
Well, Miller South seems to be handling business right now. 29-3. That is 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter there. So it looks like Miller South will stay on top of the number one team in the state. They're dominating this game right now. You know, a little bit of eight-minute football for you, Doug. Eustace Farnham, 42. Elwood, 0. And I know Elwood is maybe going to be a little bit down, but that's a score that they're going to leave themselves shaking their heads. That's one of those 12 miles apart deals that they don't like. Donovan Trumbull, 7. Twin River, 0. After 3. Fremont Bergen, 28. Arlington, 0. After 3. Also, more scores. Superior, 14. Sandy Creek, 0. That's in the third quarter. The surprise, after 3. Hastings High, 9. Adams Central, 6. Blue Hill, 12. Sutton, 0. That's after 3. Crete, 26. Omaha Scott, 0 at the half. And Mullen, 36, Layton, 8. Of course, our score here, the Pleasanton Bulldogs look to have a death grip on this game at 22-0. And if they come out and score right away, it could be a long night for the Amherst Broncos.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen, too. Pleasanton will get the ball. They won the toss and deferred, so Pleasanton will get the ball to start the second half, which is about 5 minutes away. But when we come back, it's a look at the halftime stats here on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game, or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Pleasanton Meat Processing is your custom beef and pork processors, and they can handle it all. USDA steaks are available, they can smoke your orders, and they have barbecue beef and pork. Pleasanton Meat Processing says, tear them up, Bulldog!
Trotter Fertilizer and Trotter Service of Pleasanton is proud to support the area athletes. See Trotters in Pleasanton when you need on-site farm service, including bulk fuels and tire service. Trotters is here to keep your autos and farm equipment rolling. Trotter Fertilizer and Service in Pleasanton. Good luck, Bulldogs.
And welcome back to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report here on Classic Hits 98.9. Let's take a look now at the first half statistics. Starting with the Amherst Broncos, I have Bryce Dibbern for 8 carries, 25 yards. Logan Luffelholt, 7 carries, 14 yards. Dylan Halligan, one carry, negative one, and then they had an errant pitch, goes down as a team fumble for a loss of 7 yards. So overall, they have 17 rushing attempts for just 31 yards here in the first half of play. And Tony, with those new running backs back there, I guess a little bit of what Amherst, with the returning running backs, they thought they'd probably do a little bit better there with Divert and Upholz.
Well, yeah, and anytime you start out a new season, the first thing you really want to do, Doug, is find your identity. Well, I think both these teams thought, hey, our identity is running the football. We got to come out and have a power running game. It's going to open things up. Well, all of a sudden, Pleasanton realized, hey, we might have a better passing game than we do a running game right now, especially when that's what they're giving us. So we can go to that. Maybe they found their identity, and maybe they're going to switch that. Now, if you're Amherst, you're going, the running game is non-existent. We got to throw the ball. And something they don't like to do or haven't had much comfort. They're out of their comfort zone, and that's bad to see.
Well, so 17 rushing attempts, 31 yards through the air. Dylan Halligan has put it up 11 times. He's completed 5 of those. No interceptions, no touchdowns, 59 yards through the air, 31 on the ground. That's 90 total yards. They have managed 7 first downs here in the first half of play. 2 punts for an average of 22 yards. The 1 turnover, a fumble at the Pleasanton 23-yard line. 3 penalties for 24 yards for Amherst. Their biggest play, a 26-yard pass play to get things going for their first down of the football game, our second first down, we should say, and their longest run, Tony, of the night was a 9-yarder by Bryce Dibbern. Now taking a look at what Pleasanton has done, Austin Pates, 3 carries, 5 yards. Clay Weber, 2 carries for negative 1 yard here in this football game. Also, we see that Cole Pritchard, 1 carry, 6 yards. That was on the fake punt. Jason Nichols, 7 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown. Garrett Reese, 1 carry. It was a 3-yard touchdown run. And Colin Janicek, 3 carries, negative 4 yards. He was sacked the one time for a 10-yard loss. 17 carries, 49. 17 carries, 49. So neither team has rushed for 50 yards here in the first half of play. But through the air, Colin Janicek is 7 of 9, no interceptions, 1 touchdown. The only completion of less than 10 yards was his final one, a 9-yard touchdown pass to Clay Weber. And so he's 7 of 9, 126 yards through the air, 49 yards on the ground, and that is 175 yards of total offense, 9 first downs, 1 punt for 33 yards, no turnovers, but they have committed 7 penalties for 46 yards. 3-yard Garrett Reese touchdown, 5:32 to go in the first quarter. Pates added the 2-point conversion run on the first possession, made it 8-0, capping a 54-yard drive. Then a 44-yard drive was capped with a 19-yard run by Jason Nichols. The 2-point conversion no good with 1:47 to go in the first quarter. And then the 73-yard drive, 68 of it through the air, finishes off with 23 seconds to go before the half, a 9-yard pass from Colin Janicek to Clay Weber. And the 2-point conversion was good. Janicek and a great catch by Cole Pritchard. And at the half, 22-0, Pleasanton. You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. For quality, dependable trash hauling service for your farm, home, or business, contact the professionals at Ravenna Sanitation. The second half is next.
For all your custom slaughter and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats is proud of our youth and all their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in tonight's game. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in their game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, Dr. Wilkinson provides comprehensive care in the areas of total joint replacement surgery, sports medicine, trauma, and general orthopedics. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
From Florida, UNK's volleyball team dropped the first two sets to third-ranked Tampa, 28-26 and 25-22. But the Lopers do win Game 3, 25-22. Lopers are down 2-1 to the number 3 team in the country after beating 5th-ranked Central Missouri earlier today. Tony, another team that got embarrassed last week, Axtell leads Elm Creek 31-0, and Hastings High leading it 16-6 over Adams Central mid-fourth as the ball is kicked away here by Amherst, taken by Pleasanton at the 10, up the middle of the field, 20, 25, and to about the 26-yard line, and that's where the Bulldogs will start the second half.
That's Spencer Landis right there for the Broncos to bring him down. Good job of tackling right in the middle of the field. we'll see if this defense is figuring anything out in this first half. Maybe mixes some things up, comes with a blitz to slow down this Bulldog offense.
So our third quarter gets underway. Amherst, you've got to figure, Tony, you've got to come up with a stop here. And Pleasanton's going to want to try and run the football here with a little bit different look. Colin Janicek is going to come out from under center and hand it to his fullback, who is stacked up immediately and driven backwards. Whistle blows as the players come to the ground. Austin Pates wrapped up by Bryce Dibbern. Also some help in there from Kalen Pfeiffer.
Yeah, that time the play was just over before it got started. He had too much penetration. His hands, the fullback, had nowhere to go that time.
22-0 as we start the second half. We've seen Amherst. They were kind of a comeback team last year, Tony. And we'll see if they can get back in this football game here. Now out of the I formation, Janicek. He's going to follow his fullback and hand it off to the right side. 30, 35, 40, 30, and rolled down is Clay Weber coming out of that slot position with his biggest run of the night. He'll take it all the way down to the 28-yard line. Huge play. He got out of that backfield in a hurry.
Yeah, I believe that was number two, Logan Loppelholz, down there taking his legs out from under. Weber's going to limp out of this ballgame. Looked like a left leg injury of some sort over there.
And the first down of the half, and Pleasanton has been living off the big play, Tony. Most of it through the passing game. That's their best run. The ball's fumbled on the snap, and fighting for the loose ball, Pleasanton looks like they picked it back up. Pates underneath there, I think, fell on top of it. They'll lose a yard, second and 11.
Doug, I believe that was Janicek was the one recovering that. He comes up and flips the ball to the official. Did a good job of, once the ball was down, you know, not trying to go down and make something happen that wasn't there. He just hopped back on the ball. You tell it's a veteran quarterback. A lot of times kids will try and make something happen when there's nothing there.
That'll bring up second down and 11 at the Amherst 29-yard line, and Janicek hit before he can hand off. Late pitch, and he's leaving his running back out to dry. Amherst was all over it, and nowhere to go for Nichols. Yeah, he got tackled, but it's the guys that came back there in Dibbern and Kratzer and put the pressure on the quarterback, Janicek. He was wrapped up around his ankles, I think, by Sadoff before he could even run the play.
Yeah, Kratzer just lowered the boom on Janicek that time. Just a split second after he was able to get rid of the football.
A loss of six back to the 35-yard line will bring up third down and 17. But Pleasanton's been converting these second and third and longs. Amherst has got to stop him. Single wing to the right side. They'll fake the handoff to him. Janicek keeps it over the right side. And Sadoff is going to drag him down after a 5-yard gain to the 30.
Yeah, right there. Janicek had a little bit of a hole, but you know, you're third and a whole bunch, and now you got fourth, and you still need a whole bunch.
Uh-oh, and Loppelholz grabbing his hamstring. You got to hope that's just a cramp, maybe, as he comes off the football field, and they'll get right on that. Logan Loppelholz coming over to the sideline here. It does look like they are trying to work off the cramp. And that injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Family Physical Therapy, one near you. Tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back in the game of life. And on 4th and 12, whistles blow as Pleasanton lines up to go for it. And they're going to take the timeout, I guess. Pleasanton taking the timeout here. And Ricky Westland kind of rolling the dice. The ball at the 30, you're up 22-0. It's 4th and 12. They've been converting these. We'll see if they do when we come back on KKPR.
The guys at Husker Tech are proud to support our Amherst Broncos. Call on Husker Tech for farm building, steel or wood construction, commercial and residential remodeling, and concrete work. They do everything but the dishes. Husker Tech, find them in the Overton phone book.
Zimatic and Pleasanton Irrigation offer you big saving choices when you purchase your new system. Order soon and take advantage of both low interest rates and rebates. Pleasanton Irrigation says go Dogs.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in the game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, you can get hurt, and they can help. Dr. Lauren specializes in the treatment of foot and ankle problems. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
An interesting call here, Tony, that Pleasanton is going for it. They do kind of drop
maybe
back.
Maybe not.
They drop back in a punt situation, kind of. And, yes, they will punt it away. Cole Pritchard trying to pooch it. It bounces at the 10, rolls down the right sideline, and it goes out of bounds inside the 10 at about the 8. That's the smart play and a nice pooch punt there by Cole Pritchard.
Doug, I think that's inside the 5, the 4-yard line, actually.
You're right. It's along the far sideline. It did bounce not at the 8, but at the 4. You're right. Looked at the wrong marker. And so first down and 10, and when it's all said and done, they're going to put the nose of the football right there at the 5.
That was a good decision.
Yes.
I know you liked that when you saw the ball coming off that punter's foot.
Yeah, you got talent. You got a kid that can punt. Now, let's see what Amherst does. Backed up against their own goal line. They go with the offset. Nobody behind the center. They're going to go direct snap, and nothing doing there. They don't get back to the line of scrimmage. Luffelholz, they work that cramp out, and he's back in, but he's going to lose a yard.
See, Doug, but right now Pleasanton knows it's either Dibbern or Luffelholz. They can key on those two kids. And immediately when they touch the football, they're just swarmed under.
Looks like we're going to see a little change here. Cody Sadoff comes out of the football game. And so a replacement on the interior line. Again, they line up two backs just like a regular, but they move the quarterback, Halligan, away. He's behind the guard. Direct snap to Dibbern. The right back tries to go left, and there's nowhere to go. And he's going to lose yards. Barely got out of the end zone. He's going to be marked back at the 1. And now this is just the case, Tony, where you don't have anything that you can – you haven't been successful on the ground and you need to be here, and Pleasanton knows that you're probably going to run the football and they're selling out.
Yeah, that's something. You're exactly right. They just got more people up there than – they got more white jerseys jammed up there than they've got red jerseys to block them, and that's a big trouble. Now they kind of go to a spread formation.
You know, Halligan's the punter. If you're ever going to quick kick, here's where you do it. Third and 14 at your own 1, but he's under center. Long count. Drops back. Has some pressure. Rolls out, and it is complete to Luffelholz, but only out to about the 7. That'll give him some room to pump the ball. It'll be a 6-yard completion, and they'll pump the football. Pressure being applied, among others, Caleb Pritchard.
You know, I believe it's Pritchard coming out there, and the right tackle or guard in this case shoves him almost into the quarterback that time. You know, he comes in from the corner, almost made a big play there.
7:15 and counting in the third quarter. Pleasanton 22 at Amherst nothing, and it is 4th and 8 at their own 7. And so Amherst to punt it. Two punts that have averaged 22 yards here for Dylan Halligan, who will stand about halfway back at his own end zone. And Pleasanton will kind of go with a half rush. The kick is away, coming up to field it. No, he lets it go. 32 and takes a huge roll. That's going to bounce 15 yards or more across midfield and down to the 33-yard line. That's going to be a 40-yard punt, Tony, and no return. You couldn't hope for any more off that punt if you're Amherst.
No, and I believe the official just had a chance to throw a flag there, get a hold up the middle. Garrett Reese coming up the middle, somebody just locked him up and held him on the ground so he couldn't jump, try and dive and get that football.
Final score, Hastings St. Cecilia 42, Kearney Catholic nothing. Superior leads Sandy Creek 21-0 in the 4th. Here it's 1st down and 10. Janicek goes with a counter play off the left side. That's going to be Nichols getting to the 35-yard line before he is stood up and driven backwards. It's Dibbern again with some help from Jake Sadoff. Dibbern has played a whale of a ball game defensively, but there is a penalty flag in the interior of the line. And it's a hold on Pleasanton. That's the first holding penalty of the night and the first penalty on either team in the second half, the 8th, though, of the game for Coach Ricky Westland's Bulldogs.
Doug, a couple more scores for you. Here's one that might surprise some people. Lincoln Northeast 27, Norfolk 0, after, of course, the Norfolk upset maybe Grand Island last week. One kind of leaves you scratching your head. Crete 33, Omaha Scott 0, middle of the third. Aquinas Catholic 37, Columbus Scotus 0 after 3.
So it'll bring up 1st down and 20. The ball marked back at the 23-yard line, it looks like, for Pleasanton. Man in motion from right to left is Nichols. Janicek, a little fake, and now pitches it out to the right side to Pace, who lowers his shoulder, but Luffelholz doesn't give much and gets out to the 29. It'll be a gain of 5 for Pates, who just doubled his night's work from 5 to 10. He's got 5 carries, 10 yards.
That was a good collision right over in front of the Pleasanton bench that time. You said he dropped his shoulder, and Lovell was right there, dropped his shoulder as well.
Got him out of bounds, and it stops the clock. 2nd down and about 14 yards to go. Ball at the 29-yard line, 22-0 Pleasanton on a good test here on opening night for both of these ball clubs. Janacek under center, quick snap, drops back to pass. Has time, throws it out in the flat, and Garrett Reese can't get this one. Amherst, again, Tony, has had good coverage, but Janacek's passes and the taller, stronger receivers have won most of the battles. That time, Janacek just overthrew him on the sideline route at midfield.
Got two receivers going two totally opposite directions. Pritchard's going out on the other one, running a fly pattern across the field where they bring a post pattern out of Reese and all the way towards the Amherst bench. That's where the ball is thrown.
They're down in 14 now for Pleasanton at their own 29-yard line. Janacek, five-step drop. Now pump fake. Pump fake all day. Going for the home run ball. A lot of contact between Cole Pritchard and the defensive back, Stevens. And it's incomplete. No flags. And it'll be fourth down. Good defense there by Ty Stevens. If there would have been a flag, it probably would have went against the offense that time. Pritchard was really trying to fight to get position. And incomplete. First time tonight that we've seen back-to-back incompletions by Janacek. And it'll bring up fourth and 14.
Yeah, Stevens running step for step with him that time. Good coverage on the play.
And that'll bring Cole Pritchard back to punt. A 33-yarder and a 26-yarder that he knocked out at the four. Snap, a strong one. This one kind of comes off the side of his foot, and it'll go out of bounds at the 23-yard line of Amherst. A 28-yard punt, no return, and Amherst, who since the first quarter has been playing even up here with Pleasanton, they just can't get on the board. 22-0 Pleasanton, 6:11 to go, third quarter.
Yeah, we're going to have to see if, the first thing you got to do, you got to know where number 15 and number 35 are, because they've killed you the whole first half, and then the third quarter are the one possession you've had. You got to account for those two guys and then try and build on get a first down and continue that drive.
Offset backfield, but Halligan is under center. Quarterback sneak. Pleasanton discovered it, but just too late. Ron Evans told me he thought he'd run quarterback sneak on the first play of the game tonight, which he didn't do. But he does it here, and it's going to gain him 4 yards, second down and six.
Yeah, just a quick hitter right up the middle. Lucas Mills and Garrett Reese, they're in on the tackle.
You're listening to high school football on Classic Hits 98.9, KKPR-FM, Kearney, Pleasanton, and Amherst, and the World Wide Web, KKPR.com. Doug Duda and Tony Davis with you here. Week one, first game of the year for these teams from Amherst. Pleasanton leads 22-0 with 5:35 and counting in the third quarter. Second and six, Amherst at their own 28-yard line. And they're going to go with an end around here to Stevens. And he is able to get up the field but lost the football, and it's covered by Pleasanton. That ball bounced out of his hands 12 to 15 yards forward, and it is going to be covered there by the Bulldogs.
Lucas Mills there, Doug. Lucas Mills dove on that football. Pretty lucky that a Bronco didn't get back on it. For as far down the field as the ball shot, there was one white jersey kind of tossed the kind of got his momentum going and kind of flipped the ball back about 3 yards, and then another Bulldog pounced on it.
The ball will be spotted at Pleasanton 37. That's the second turnover for Amherst tonight. Pleasanton has not turned the football over yet.
I'm not sure Bulldogs pounced either.
How about Little Sue's?
Yeah, Little Sue just pounced on it. There you go.
So first down and 10, and that's got to play to Amherst right here. This is a big series as Nichols takes it off the right side. A lot of running room into the secondary, 35, 30, 25, down to the 23. Can't say I'm surprised on what just happened there, Tony. Amherst Dauber's got to be down after that turnover.
Yeah, Stevens there made the touchdown saving tackle that time. But, yeah, you're right. You get the turnover. Everybody's kind of hanging their head. Pleasanton gets right out there. Quick hitter, boom, big play.
20 yards for Jason Nichols. And it'll be first down and 10 at the 23-yard line. Trying to put this one away midway and counting through quarter number three. And here's the handoff in the backfield, looking for some running room over the left side, breaking a tackle. Nichols, 20, 15, shoved out of bounds at the 10-yard line, at the 9-yard line by Luffelholtz. 13 more for Jason Nichols.
Now Logan Loffelholtz now kind of grabbing his leg. He limps back out there to play defensive back for the Bronco defense.
Remember, he cramped up a little bit earlier before re-entering the football game. First and goal at the 9 for Pleasanton. Two touchdown runs so far, a three-yarder by Garrett Reese, a 19-yarder by Jason Nichols. The score right before the half was a nine-yard touchdown pass from Janacek to Clay Weber. So a lot of different folks have been involved. They line up in the power eye formation. Janacek turns, hands it to his eye back, Pace. Big hole over the right side, inside the five, and it'll be stacked up around the three, second and goal.
A good hard run that time by Pace. That hole closed up pretty quickly, and Lafferholz right there in on the tackle as well with him, number 51 for the Broncos, Darby Ortwig.
Don't forget, after the ball game tonight, it is the Friday Night Scoreboard Show. Josh Jeldon, Stacy Grant, all the folks back at the studios giving you recaps from our radio games tonight, scores from across the area and the state. So stay with us tonight following our coverage here on KKPR. 4 minutes, 10 seconds to go. Third quarter, second and goal at the three. Janacek, pump fake, gives it to his fullback off the left side. Touchdown, Pleasanton. And Austin Pates will hit into the end zone for the first time this season. It was a fake toss sweep to the right. Gave it on that little inside handoff, almost a Statue of Liberty-looking type of thing, the way he carried out the fake. And it's 28-0 Bulldogs.
Doug, I'll really be honest with you, entering this contest tonight, if you'd said the the 35-point deal would become a factor where the clock could run, I told you you're crazy. You don't think that in eight-man football things can change so quickly, but one more score, that's what it'll be.
Pleasanton's going to line up and go for two. Same play that they just ran, but they don't get into the end zone this time. Nice tackle by Dibbern on Lucas Mills. So the two-point conversion run is no good. 4:07 to go, third quarter. Pleasanton 28, Amherst nothing. We'll be back after this.
For all your custom slaughter and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats is proud of our youth and all their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in tonight's game.
The Phillips Insurance Agency proudly supports the Pleasanton Bulldogs. The Phillips Insurance Agency is a full-service crop and life insurance agency. Life insurance rates are changing all the time, so ask for a life checkup today. Your insurance experts, the Phillips Insurance Agency in Pleasanton.
Zimatic and Pleasanton Irrigation offer you big saving choices when you purchase your new system. Order soon and take advantage of both low interest rates and rebates. Pleasanton Irrigation says go Dogs.
Let's go back to the Valentino scoreboard. We deliver the scores. They deliver the pizza in Kearney. Daddy.
Well, late in the fourth, Kearney High is taking a 19-7 lead over Lincoln East. There's 2:51 left in that. Adams Central missed the extra point. It is now Adams Central has taken the lead, 18-16 over Hastings High. Still a shocker when you think about how
still
far.
Still not over. Is. They can't make a conversion.
They're still not over. You're right. Eustis Farm 42, Elwood 6. Also, Aurora 28, McCook 18. That one coming around like we thought it probably would.
And that game has had some field goals in it too, Tony, that Adams Central and
yes, it has.
St. Cecilia game. Here it's 28-0. Pleasanton has just scored. They're ready to kick it off with 4:07 to go in the football game. And this will be a very short kick taken at the 21-yard line. Look for some room. Dibbern breaks a tackle, 25, 30, 35, 99. Bryce Dibbern down the right sideline, 30. 20, 10, touchdown Amherst. They're on the board for the first time in 2010 on a 59-yard touchdown run off the kickoff. The kickoff return will get the Broncos on the board. And a nice, nice job of fighting off a couple of defenders.
Well, usually you tell that guy that gives the ball, you want to hit north and south, and then you'll put your head down and run. Well, that time Dibbern did a lot of running. Well, once he got that corner, Doug, he's able to fight off two tacklers. Boom, he had the corner, and he was gone. Just shot out of there like a rocket.
I'll tell you what, as well as he has played tonight, it's good to see that he was rewarded on that play, and most of it was him. Boy, the short kick, so there was a whole bunch of bodies in the middle of the football field. He got outside and just stiff-armed a couple of players. They went for the high tackle, didn't get him. They're going to go for two here, it looks like. Good formation. Halligan rolls right, has time. Pump fake, decides to run. Nobody's open, and he will not get in for the two-point conversion. So both teams told us they had somebody that could kick the ball, but everything's been a two-point conversion. 3:55 to go, third quarter. Amherst is on the board. Pleasanton 28, Amherst 6, and we're back after this.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
age 50 or older? Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustis Body Shop, that's who we are.
And after moving the ball, it took one kickoff return to get the Amherst fans to make even more noise. They've been in the ball game when their kids are doing good things, but a 59-yard kickoff return by Bryce Dibbern, 28-6 Pleasanton. Still a lot of game left here, but Pleasanton has controlled this one. Amherst got to find a way to maybe force a turnover somewhere. They are negative two in that turnover department as Darby Ortwig tees up the football.
We'll see how deep this kickoff went. That last one, Dibbern was an up man when he fielded it.
And it looks like Nichols is the deep man here for Pleasanton.
Not all that deep.
And here is a high but short kick taken at about the 17-yard line. Again, a whole bunch of bodies trying to sneak through their 20, 25. And they'll mark it down at about the 27-yard line. In on the tackle up here was Dalton Kratzer. Also in there, Wyatt Shockey. First down and 10 for Pleasanton. An update from Florida. After dropping the first two sets, we're going to a fifth. UNK has won the fourth set against the third-ranked team in the country, Tampa, 25-21.
I like this team heading into the year, and I thought they had national title inspiration. Now, other people had differing opinions on that, but I sure like what Coach Squires have put together.
And on first down and 10, over the right side, across the 30, Pleasanton to the 33-yard line before being stacked up. Dibbern in there again. If we kept tackles, Tony, about the only stat we don't keep up here, Dibbern's got to be close to 20 of them, and Nichols a little hobbled coming out of the pile, a five-yard gain.
Yeah, immediately you see that if you're Coach Westland. I think you got so many people. You know, Clay Weber's trying to walk off. Stiltoe is still over on the sideline. We haven't really saw him since he left with that leg injury that happened right in front of the Bulldog bench either, have we?
A big game update. Adam Central has got an interception, and with 2:10 left, might be able to run the clock out and hold off Hastings and get that win. Here, it's going to be Lucas Mills carrying the ball, crashing across the 35 to the 36, and he'll be 2 yards shy of the first down. Mills gets three.
Good job that time. I think Ricky's going back to the power game, just saying let's run the football, keep the clock running. We're in a good position right now.
Seventh different Bulldog to carry the football tonight. Third down and two at their own 36-yard line. Single wing left side, Janacek with the snap. He wants to keep it, and he is smothered from behind, coming in and making the tackle. Is 59 Kent Bramer.
Yeah, seeing some of his first action of the night, I believe.
Hadn't called that name yet. First I thought it was 50 on the jersey, but no, 59. And the senior defensive lineman Bramer got the speedy Janacek for a 3-yard loss. And that'll make it fourth down and five in a punting situation here for Cole Pritchard. Snaps high. It goes over his head. He feels it and has to run. Gets to the right side. Might get the first down. He stretches forward at the 37, but he's going to be just short.
Doug, it was just blasted him to save that first down.
Cole Pritchard looks like he's about 150 pounds bigger than Luffelholz, but on the chart here it says they weigh about the same. Almost got the job done. That was not an intentional fake. He had to go back and get it. High snap, got his fingers on it, but not enough to control it. And that's the break that maybe Amherst needs. They'll take over first down and 10 at the Pleasanton 36.
Doug, one final for you, one of the first finals we've got in all night. Holdridge has beaten Gehring 31-7 in that ball game. So they'll improve to 2-0 on the year. A couple overmatch foes in York and Gehring have both fallen weeks 1 and 2 to the Dusters.
All right, 1:56 to go, third quarter. Dylan Halligan out of the shotgun, trailing 28-6, but on the move. Slant pattern through the hands of Ty Stevens. They're just slant patterns that are anywhere from 5 to 10-yard routes, and that one probably should have been caught, but again, how many times can we tell you, It's getting slick out there. It's getting damp. It's getting cold, and so is the football. Next time, I'm sure that'll be a completion.
Yeah, it was a well-thrown pass that time from Halligan. You know, it's one of those, maybe, you know, in practices, we think of scaling back and say, relax just a little bit, and more of those are going to be caught.
Amherst actually has not picked up a first down here in the quarter. Their score came on a kickoff return. Second and 10, shotgun again, three wide. Wants to throw it underneath on a screen to Dibbern, and Dibbern will be upended. Nice job by Caleb Pritchard to read that one out. If Pritchard doesn't make the tackle, Dibbern's going to get big yardage, but instead, he barely makes it back to the line of scrimmage. Might have even lost a half a yard, third and 11.
You know, Ron Evans saying something, hey, we think we can get him out there one-on-one. That could be our real receiving threat before the game started, and that's the first time they've tried to run that play really today.
Well, if you had an experienced quarterback, you could pump fake that one, and Caleb would be coming strong, and then you'd throw it over the top of him to your running back. But right now it's third and 11, and we've got a penalty flag, one of the few here in the half, coming from the linesman on the Pleasanton side. And that usually means bad news for the offense. A false start on Amherst. That is their fourth penalty of the ball game and the first of the half. 28-6 Pleasanton, a minute 12 to go here in the third quarter on Classic Hits, 98.9. It's been kind of a long football game. Yes, we did kick off at 7:30, but kind of the times of games the last year or so, 2:05, 2:10, and we're going to be over that here tonight. We have yet to get to the fourth quarter. 28-6 Pleasanton. Amherst now has it third and 16 back on their side of midfield at their own 37-yard line. And again, spread the field. It'll be Stevens on the short side, two to the right side, the left side, blind side, back to pass. Halligan, pressure coming, Pritchard, deep throw, pressure down the sideline, and it is going to be Pates to knock it away. It was 5-on-5, Pates and Stevens wearing number 5, and in fact, I think he actually pushed him out of bounds, and maybe even if he had caught that, it wouldn't have been a legal catch, although no beanbag was thrown, the pass is incomplete.
Doug, a pretty well-designed play that time. The only problem was, if Pleasanton's Austin Pates was playing so far off him, he went about 5 yards, turned around, gave him a good pump fake, but the guy was about still 12 yards off of him. So even when he started running, you know, they're trying to give him a give and go down the sideline, Pates was able to regroup and run step for step down the sideline with him.
All right, a punt coming up for Dylan Halligan. Fourth and 16. Anticipating a fake, but there isn't one. And Halligan, a nice little pooch down the sideline. Oh, but he didn't get it as much down the sideline he wanted. It got out of bounds way before it looked. And they're going to drop it, estimated at the 30. And that's only about a 13-yard punt. That thing got out of bounds before I thought it did, Tony. And a 14-yard punt at the 29.
Yeah, it just went right off the side of his foot. And I'm sure Halligan's just shaking his head saying, well, I wish I had that one back because I had a chance to put Pleasanton in poor field position, and now they're out of the hole.
Donovan Trumbull, 14, Twin River 2, a final on the Valentino scoreboard. And Aurora, 36, McCook, 18 in the fourth. Grand Island has beaten Omaha Bryan 48-0. Kearney has beaten Lincoln East 19-7, a final. Back here, right up the middle. Pleasanton didn't get much on that one, a couple yards out across the 30 to the 32 as time winds down here in the third quarter.
Yeah, I'm sure Ron Evans is going to preach consistency. They've looked awful good tonight at times, smothering those running plays up the middle, and at other times looks like there's big gaping holes up front. So, I know there's something they want to readjust and focus and study some film and get back after it next week.
Great crowd on hand as it continues to fill in here. And Pleasanton apparently doesn't have to not run another play here in the third quarter, and so they won't. And this backyard brawl is through three quarters here at Amherst. It's the Pleasanton Bulldogs, 28, and the Amherst Broncos, 6. You're listening to High School Football on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at kkpr.com.
The guys at Husker Tech are proud to support our Amherst Broncos. Call on Husker Tech for farm building, steel or wood construction, commercial and residential remodeling, and concrete work. They do everything but the dishes. Husker Tech, find them in the Overton phone book.
We're proud to be recognized as a leading ag bank, proud to be a leading commercial lender, proud that our staff has all the qualities of good hometown folks. We're Town & Country Bank, Ravenna, Litchfield, Pleasanton, and Kearney.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, our university-trained audiologists provide personalized, quality care. Trust your hearing health care and hearing aid products to the experts. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Trotter Fertilizer and Trotter Service of Pleasanton is proud to support the area athletes. See Trotters in Pleasanton when you need on-site farm service, including bulk fuels and tire service. Trotters is here to keep your autos and farm equipment rolling. Trotter Fertilizer and Service in Pleasanton. Good luck, Bulldogs.
And we're ready to get the fourth quarter underway here on KKPR. Second and 7 for Pleasanton at their own 32. Quarterback draw. Janicek is upended by Dylan Halligan. He read the play, and Halligan de-cleats him with Spencer Landis right there to help out. Nice defensive play from the left end. Dylan Halligan. Colin Janicek's going to say, I don't really want to run that play again, Coach. What a tackle by Halligan. 1 yard gain for Janicek after it's all said and done. Leading rusher, Jason Nichols, 75 yards on 12 carries of the ball game. Third and 6 now at their 32-yard line. Option play, Janicek tries it again, tries to find a seam, dives forward across the 35, but down he goes, and there's Kent Bramer again on the tackle. Going to get some positive yards, maybe 4. We'll call it fourth down and a long yard. We'll give Janicek 5. He's going to come over to the sideline.
And nobody's slowing down yet. Still some pretty good hitting going on as we're into the fourth quarter now.
Again, it looks like Pleasanton is going to go for it up 22 and on their own side of the field with just a minute plus gone here in the quarter. And now we're going to have a whistle and a timeout. Pleasanton, they took a little too long. They didn't want to delay a game. So Pleasanton will call the timeout. That is their second of the half. With 10:44 to go in the game, fourth and 1 at their own 37-yard line. Coming up for Pleasanton, they lead Amherst 28-6. We'll be back after this.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
Misco Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the games begin. Misco's carries brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Columbia, Nike, and more. Get your game on at Misco's now in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis, our producer-engineer Stacy Johns, as Pleasanton goes forward on fourth and 1 at their own 37-I formation. Janicek back to pass, under pressure, tries to scramble, he gets away. He's got the first down at the 40 and gets to the 36. Oh, they had him hemmed in the backfield with Luffelholtz and Halligan, but Janicek used his athleticism there and picks up 7 for what could be a game-clinching first down, kind of take the hope away from Amherst here, who'd been hanging around in the second half.
Well, that had to be a broken play there, Doug. I think Janicek was looking for somebody to be out on a pass pattern where he could get rid of the football, and there was nobody going out at all on that play.
A 7-yard gain and a first down for Janicek. I've got it for 13 here in the ball game. Out of the I formation, they'll turn, they'll hand it off to Jason Nichols, steps over his left guard and gets down to the 31-yard line, a gain of 5.
A good job by Nichols that time, being patient, waiting for a hole to develop. So he could pick up positive yardage. Looks like there was a lot of traffic right in front of him to start with, waited for a hole, and then he went.
So it'll bring up second down and 5. Pleasanton now starting to take a little more time out of the huddle and coming up to the line of scrimmage. Second and 5, just short of the 30. A little busted. Janicek's going to make something out of it. Gets to the right side and just lowers his shoulder, keeps his balance across the 25 for a first down to the 24. 6 more for Janicek. And that looked like a busted play, Tony. He turned around, his running back went the other way, so went, stutter step, put it on his hip, and up the field he went. And remember, he's just a junior. He was the starting quarterback last year, and that was kind of the question mark going into last year because they had all the studs at receiver and Campbell and the running backs and linemen, and Janacek just kind of managed the game. Today, he's thrown for over 125 yards. No passing yards in the second half. It was all in the first half. Now Janacek gives it to Pates, just a straight fullback dive up the middle, and he's going to be hit there by Kalen Pfeiffer and finished off by Jacob Sadoff. Yeah. Basically a gain of a yard.
Yeah, but the play before that you're talking about where he kept the football, Lucas Mills out in front of him. Sadoff didn't know which one to tackle, so he kind of wrapped up the whole group when they all went to the ground.
Don't forget the Misco Sports postgame show when we're all done here. All the final stats, and then we'll send it back to the studios for the Friday night scoreboard show. All of the scores and recaps from the area tonight. And some games that were a little different than what we thought. Option play, Janacek strings it out, pitches it to Nichols. Nichols turns the corner at the 20, down to the 15, and he's going to be tripped up right at that first down marker at the 14-yard line.
That Lopholz made a nice tackle on the outside. Excuse me, that was Ty Stevens on the outside, number 5, making that tackle. But a good tackle it was.
That's going to be a 9-yard gain, and it'll bring up third and a half a yard. The ball down at about the 14-yard line here for the Bulldogs. Nichols in motion right to left. Quarterback fake draw. Now pitches it to the outside to Pates, and he is going to be upended there by Ty Stevens. And let's see if he got the first down or not. I think he actually lost yardage. And it'll bring up fourth down and one. That was kind of one of those touchdown or nothing plays, as he took a step towards the line of scrimmage and threw it out there and upending his running back.
Yeah, kind of a little misdirection play there that went the wrong direction.
Well, they've converted some fourth downs tonight. Let's see what they do here on fourth and one. Janacek calls the count. He's going to go quarterback sneak off the left side. Hibbern wraps him up, but I think he's leaned forward enough to get the first down here and move chains for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, pretty easy decision there for our referee tonight, Tim Beck. Kind of got the old Phelps County crew tonight. Dan Nelson, Tony Shields, the linesman, Lions Jeff Butner, and the back judge, Courtney Reynolds. Loomis, Axtell, Minden, Holdridge, all right down that highway.
7:45 and counting to go at our football game. Pleasanton 28, Amherst 6. And Pleasanton has it first and 10 at the Amherst 12 high formation. Quarterback Janacek gives it to the fullback Pates, and he's going to be wrapped up as he gets to the 10-yard line, a gain of 2.
Yeah, you got to think that with the strength of this offensive line and the strength of these running backs, that Pleasanton's saying, hey, we're going up against a fairly good opponent here. Let's just try our power game. We know this is going to gain yards for us all year long against a lot of other teams. Let's just keep it working, keep that clock running.
Their run game has not been overpowering tonight. I think this is, you're exactly right, Tony. Whether you score or not, don't get fancy. Try and run that football up the middle, usually you say between the tackles, maybe between the guards here in an eight-man game. See if you can win the battle here. Second and 8. Option play, though. Janacek pitches it wide. Nichols gets to the corner, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Bulldogs. Well, they want to score. That's what's working. They're taking what Amherst has given them. A 10-yard touchdown run for Jason Nichols, and he gets his second of the night.
But the thing about a year ago to this year with Janacek, Doug, is wait until how late he pitched that football. That guy was bearing down, had a split second, got it out of his hand, a perfect pitch. Nichols catches in a strike, gets a corner touchdown. Where last year there would have been a second, that guy would have recovered and caught Nichols on the outside.
Now they'll line up for a PAT kick with Ridge Neal. Plenty of leg, and it is good. Kicked it pretty high and got it across the crossbar. So with 6:44 to go in our football game, it's Pleasanton 35 and Amherst 6. We'll be back with more high school football on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Pleasanton, Amherst, right after this.
Whatever machining you need done, large jobs or small, see Hand Machining of Pleasanton. Hand Machining is a general machine shop serving Pleasanton and surrounding area. Get it done right. Get it done by Hand Machining of Pleasanton.
The Phillips Insurance Agency proudly supports the Pleasanton Bulldogs. The Phillips Insurance Agency is a full-service crop and life insurance agency. Life insurance rates are changing all the time, so ask for a life checkup today. Your insurance experts, the Phillips Insurance Agency in Pleasanton.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
We'll check the Valentino scoreboard for you here in just a moment. 35-6 Pleasanton, 6:44 to go in the football game. And Tampa, the third-ranked team in the country, has defeated UNK tonight in the fifth set, 15-11. They won the first two games. UNK won the next two games. So UNK today sweeps the number five team in the country and then loses at the number three team in the country on their home court in five sets. So a good job tonight by UNK, and that first set was 28-26. Right now, Pleasanton to boot it away, and a good kick here to Dittmer, but he dropped it at the 15-10, now trying to find some room, 15. He's already returned for a touchdown, and he's trying for more. He got to the outside and holding on for dear life to bring him down out there. Let me pick up that number. Was that Zwiener or Darby over there?
I think it was Brady Darby, Brady 6, dragging him down.
After he dropped the ball.
He went right the last time and got the corner. That's exactly what he tried to do that time.
Well, Bryce Dibbern, hitch your wagon to this young man. He has had an outstanding game tonight.
I wonder if he'll win any wrestling matches this year.
Yeah, you know.
He'll probably be okay.
He'll step up a little bit. A little bit. Now let's see if Amherst can do something here. Up next, Amherst hits the road to play Loup City. Well, it's been probably a few years since they played. Although in the 11-man days, maybe got a chance to. Then they go to Spalding, Spalding Academy. Amherst's next home game, the Vikings of Bertrand on the 24th of September. Pleasanton will have their home opener against Loomis. Tony, three of the first four games for Pleasanton are on the road, but none of them are too far. Tonight at Amherst, 2 weeks at SEM, 3 weeks at Litchfield. They only have three home games this year at Pleasanton in a quirky schedule. So that means next year they'll get five, but only three home games this year. Loomis, Heartland Lutheran, and Spalding, Spalding Academy. I assume they wanted that road game for their filmer, John Wesley. It'd be a shorter trip.
Well, you got to think so. And, you know, how are they going to make the deal cash flow? Nebraska needs eight of them at least. And, you know, they're only getting three this year. They have some big questions left to be answered with the school board.
We've got a timeout on the field by Amherst. That'll give us a chance to look at the Valentino's scoreboard. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Tony, if you want to run them down.
Well, Adams Central has finally taken the legs out from the Hastings Tigers, 24-16. That is now final. Of course, our score here, Pleasanton 28, Amherst 6, 35-6. Kearney High, a winner of Lincoln East, 19-7. Grand Island Senior High, 48, Omaha Bryan 0. And getting some frustration out in the second game of the season.
Back to action here. Dylan Halligan wants to throw. He's got a man wide open. Complete. Stevens at the 30, 35, 40, and across midfield to the 36-yard line. 29 yards on the play, and the biggest play of the night offensively for Amherst.
Now Nickel on the coverage at the time. He's shaking his head a little bit. He got beat deep, and he knew it right away.
Earlier tonight, Hastings St. Cecilia blanked Kearney Catholic by a score of 45-0. Aurora beat McCook. Eustace Farnham over Elwood. Blue Hill was leading Sutton. Trying to get a final on that for you. Back to Pat Halligan. Pump fake short under pressure. This time he's going down, but a penalty flag comes in as well. And on the sack is Reese and Darby. Dropping him all the way back at the 36-yard line. But let's see what the penalty flag is for. It came right at the point of the tackle. It's either a hold or a face mask. And it's a hold. Probably going to be declined here because they drop him for about a 9-yard loss.
Doug, another score here. Giltner 72, Hampton 0. 72-0, Giltner over Hampton. And Alma 55, Franklin 13. That is late in the fourth quarter. Alma is going to be a team to contend with this year in the area as well.
A loss of 9, the first time that Dylan Halligan has been sacked in the football game tonight. And that'll bring up second down and 19 after they decline the holding penalty. Again, back to the shotgun. Dibber flanks him to his right. Two to the short side left. One to the right side wide. And that's Luppel's wide. Halligan back to pass. Looks over the middle. Overthrows Dibber. That's a play that hooked up right towards the end of the first half when Dibber made a great catch. He actually had Weber on the deep slant open. Nichols was giving him a lot of cushion there, Tony. They run that same play again. They can probably get into the hands of a Shockey, excuse me, not Weber, Shockey, or right at the first down marker, but it's third down and 19.
Well, you go to Dibron so often because of the athleticism. That time Caleb Pritchard running really step for step with him. You were going to have one athlete go up and make a play on another athlete there and just overshot him a little bit.
How far have baby strollers come, Tony? That kid's in a house down there. 30-19 at their own 36-yard line. Halligan now all by himself in the backfield. Swing it out here. Maybe a double pass. Nope, just trying to screen to Luffelholtz, and it didn't work. He got back to the line of scrimmage. Late flag comes in. The tackle is made. Let's try and pick that number up over on the far side. It was number 81, Cadence Wiener. And a hold going to be called. And again, I would expect this one to be declined, Tony, because it would make it 4th and 19.
Yeah, I think this is really a no-brainer here.
There was really no gain on the play. Got back to the original line of scrimmage on the pass. Let's see what Pleasanton wants to do. 5:53 to go, 35-6 Pleasanton. It was 22-0 at the half. Pleasanton scored with 23 seconds to go before halftime. And that is the case. The penalty will be declined. And they'll bring a 4th down and 19 from their own 35-yard line. Halligan only about 5 yards behind. Let's see if he punts or if they go for it. Low snap, and he's in trouble. He wants to throw it, but there's nobody to throw it to. Shovel pass complete to Dibron, but it's only out to the 40-yard line. They gain about 6 yards on the play. Nobody really got downfield, Tony, and I don't think he was going to punt. It was all messed up from the low snap to begin with, and it will be turned over on downs.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. He had nowhere to go. He looked downfield, and there was nobody down there. You're absolutely right about that stroller. There's people heading to the lake tomorrow for the long weekend with pop-up campers that aren't that big.
That kid's in luxury down there.
You've got a hot tub.
I don't even know where they sell those things.
You've got a hot tub, DirecTV.
Oh, it looks like a tailgate I'm going to tomorrow. I mean, it's like a third-wheel camper or a fourth-wheel camper. He could have a birthday, or she, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to see, but that kid could have a birthday party in there.
It's ball bearings, you know, they just incorporate some ball bearings and some antifreeze. They build them bigger now.
Well, Pleasanton's starting to rotate some new kids like William Gibbons into the ball game, couple of fresh jerseys out there, but they couldn't get the right numbers, so they're going to call a timeout. We'll take one with them. 5:44 to go in the game. Pleasanton leading at Amherst 35-6. We'll be right back.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in an hour.
Don't let trash take up all your time. Ravenna Sanitation takes trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, they remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
We're proud to be recognized as a leading ag bank, proud to be a leading commercial lender, proud that our staff has all the qualities of good hometown folks. We're Town and Country Bank, Ravenna, Litchfield, Pleasanton, and Kearney.
For all your custom slaughter and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats is proud of our youth and all their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in tonight's game.
Well, welcome back to high school football. As always, a big thank you to our many fine sponsors. Doug and Tony Davis with you here, our second week of football. And we'll let you know where we're going next week. Again, there should be some good games in the area. Kearney, Grand Island, Kearney Catholic, North Platte, St. Pat's. Here's the handoff, Pleasanton. Janicek is still in there. Still a lot of the starters, but they started to rotate some new kids in as Nichols takes it over the right side and just got back to the line of scrimmage. No gain. Nichols, I have him a yard shy of 100, which is far and away the best rushing performance tonight. He had 40 yards in the first half, 35 in the third quarter, and has picked up 24 yards here in the fourth quarter. The Misco Sports Postgame Show coming your way when we're all done, and then we'll send it back to the studios for the Friday Night Scoreboard Show. Josh Jeldon, Grant Sparks, Stacey Johns taking care of all the business back there, getting you the scores and recaps from around the state. Again, out of the I formation, nothing fancy. Janicek, well, he was going to pull it back out of the belly of his fullback, and so Amherst just tackled them both.
Yeah, Kalen Pfeiffer, Dibber, and both there just wrapped up the whole mess and took it to the ground.
Pates will get credit for the carry, but he'll also get 0 yards, and it's third down and 10 as the clock continues to run with 4:40 to go. 35-6 Pleasanton.
Darby Ortwicks was there as well, and along with number 57, Jacob Sadoff, so a whole host of red jerseys in on that tackle.
Glad to be with you tonight. We'll give you another Valentino score update in a while. Right now, 3rd and 10 for Pleasanton. And here's the fake handoff, pitched down the line of scrimmage to Nichols, and Nichols is going to be strung out, and a tackle made by Logan Luffelholtz over there, making the guy holding the first down marker do a little dance. Luffelholtz, nice open field tackle there on Nichols.
Yeah, Luffelholtz did a good job of stringing that play out. Just Nichols could not get the corner that time. I think it was probably, you know, if you did the official deal, that was kind of a forward flip of the football, I think, that time.
We're going to give him the yard that gets him to 100 because that's the kind of guys we are. Punting situation here, Cole Pritchard. One step and a beautiful high kick, driving Stevens all the way back to the 4, and he fields it. He wants to make something happen. Makes one man miss, makes another man miss, but does not get to the 10. Going to mark him around the 8-yard line. Great punt that time. 36 yards, only about a 3-yard return. And as if you didn't have enough weapons, you got Cole Pritchard that's done a great job punting the ball tonight. Converted a fake punt, almost converted a second one out of necessity when it was snapped over his head, was tackled a yard short.
Doug, a couple more scores for you here. Aurora is now a final, 43, McCook 28, Columbus 37, North Platte 14 as a final, and Alma 55, Franklin 19.
It is 1st down and 10, Amherst at their own 7 with 4:02 to go in the game, trailing 35-6. Their only touchdown, a 59-yard kickoff return by Bryce Dibbert. Dylan Halligan, the quarterback, looking to throw in his own end zone. Out here, he's got his man Stevens, dives and can't hang on at the 30-yard line. That's kind of been their, there's really only two pass plays that they're running. It's the slant about 10 yards, or they're throwing it out here in the flat on a sideline pattern, and it's been to Stevens all but once when they run that play.
Yeah, Stevens really open on the play. Ball just overshot maybe by half a step on him. Could have been a nice pickup on the play for the Broncos.
Not used to seeing these teams throw the ball as much as they have tonight, and not just to tight ends. In fact, hardly ever are they throwing it to the tight ends. 2nd down and 10 at the 7-yard line. Halligan's going to come under his center this time. Owns 7. He'll roll to his right, wants to throw, pump fake in trouble, and he is going to be brought down inside the 5 on the sack. Let's see if we can pick the number up way back there, Tone.
Well, I believe they're going to say, hell no.
Might have been Pritchard. Might have been Caleb Pritchard back there.
Well, Caden Zweener, number 81, he's out there as well. I believe it was him.
That's who they announced, so let's go with that. It's going to be a loss of the play of about 4 yards, and they're back to the 3. Second sack of the night. And it's 3rd down. They have it wrong on the scoreboard, but they have it right on the field. Back at the 3-yard line, Halligan back to pass in his own end zone. Quick little slant pass, and it's complete to Stevens across the 15, and right at the 1st down marker at the 19. I think he's got it, Tony.
Yeah, I did. I think he's got a 1st down, too. A nice pass. No, that's a pitch and catch strike right there, thrown by Halligan.
Into the ball game for Pleasanton is Derek Tolles, number 24. Also in there, Brady Darby, number 46, William Gibbons. So you're seeing some new faces out there. There's just not a lot of them. Alex Johnsey has come in. Also running into the ball game here
is Dalton Hand.
Also in there is Jake Neal, a freshman at the safety position.
No, that's one thing you're afforded, too, is you get some young players in the game and get them varsity experience.
Halligan now comes under center, twins to the left side here, and Halligan straight back to pass, under pressure, throws it underneath into the hands of Dibbern, breaks a tackle, but not completely, a shoestring tackle, got him out to near midfield, and the tackle made by Derek Tolles, and Dibbern would have been off to the races if he could have kept his balance. It's going to be enough for a 1st down out to the 36-yard line. Guess that's good for about 17, Tony.
Yeah, Tolles did a good job. Dibbern, they wanted to get him one-on-one out there. And Tolles able to just clip an ankle enough to knock him down, save a touchdown.
High school football on Classic Hits 98.9 and KKPR.com.
Dustin Simmons in there at the defensive end position on the left side now.
2:20 to go in the game. Some confusion with the new guys out there for Pleasanton. Let's see if Amherst can take advantage. Halligan rolls, throws underneath. And Luffelholtz was open for about a little four-yard dump-off, but he would have had a lot of room to run, and it's thrown right around the toes there, incomplete.
Exactly right. Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be a big pickup at the middle of the field. They'd ran the deep guy off. Everybody went with him. There's just no personnel where the linebackers were supposed to be, and he would have ran for a long ways.
Grand Island, Aurora, Kearney, Hastings, St. Cecilia winners tonight. So is Donovan Trumbull. Adams Central comes back to beat Hastings High. Eustis Farnham a winner. Wood River a winner tonight. Right now it is 35-6 Pleasanton. Amherst trying to get another score. They'll throw out here into the flat. That time it's caught by Luffelholtz at the 35, breaks a tackle. He's down to the 25-yard line, where he's brought down after another first down catch by Derek Tolles.
Good hard running that time right down the middle of the field. And yeah, there's some youngsters in there playing defense, but once again, why not work on this passing game a little bit down the stretch here?
And a hurry-up offense with 2 minutes to go here. Amherst is going to try and get as many snaps as they can in. A low snap, but Halligan handles, not much pressure, and it's underthrown, trying to get it into the hands there of his running back, Bryce Severn. Derek Tolles on the coverage. Stops the clock with a minute 52 to go in the game.
You know, Tolles running step for step with him. He's not very big out there, only 130 pounds, but was right with Severn that time.
More high school sports Tuesday when we come back for the Labor Day break. Volleyball from the Minden Triangular, state-rated Minden and Kearney Catholic, plus Gibbon, who got two wins last night, will all be on hand starting at 5. Here a minute 52 to go in our game. Snap to Halligan. Time over the middle. Thrown and behind the intended receiver, Ty Stevens. But again, Tony, you got to be careful with running the slants. That's the fourth or fifth time that they've run two slants, right, left, and they're coming together, and that gives the defensive backs an easy, what should be a much easier job covering you, because if the pass is just a little bit off, you got two guys back there.
Everybody's right there. You're exactly right. You got too much confusion, too much traffic right in that one area of the field.
If you want to run the double slant, run 1 5 yards, run 15, not the same yardage like they just did. But, again, still kind of learning here, this running team throwing the ball. Third and 10 at the 25 underneath to Dibbern. Short completion, now tries to turn up field and does, across the 20, the 15, and down to the 13-yard line, and they'll convert it on third and 10 for 12 yards.
Yeah, good job that time. Dibbern, once you get, you know, he's a threat any time, but, you know, he gets out there one-on-one. He wants to break that initial tackle and let those defensive back bring him down.
So Amherst continues to try and move the ball, get one more into the end zone. They've moved the ball decent tonight, just were shut down with a couple of turnovers, and they were inside the 7 and didn't get in on first and goal. Here's a pass out of the flat, complete to Luffelholtz, tries to cut up the middle of the field to the 5 and down to the 2-yard line, close to a first down, finally catching up to him and making the tackle that time was Caden Zwiener.
Doug, that time, Stevens thinks the ball's being thrown to him, and Lovell cuts right in front of him, takes it and goes the other direction.
They will call it a first down, and it'll be first and goal at the 2. Halligan comes up under center this time. Let's see if he goes straight ahead. And he does. Quarterback sneak, follows his center, and gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Dylan Halligan, right behind Jake Sadoff with 1:14 to go in the game. It's now 35-12, the first rushing and offensive touchdown of the year for Amherst.
Yeah, pretty much one of those quick hitter plays that time. Take it, go straight ahead. Right now, Loppelholz coming out a little bit injured, looks like a little bit hobbled right now. It looks like they're going back to the cramping again in the legs.
Yeah, early out of the season, you got to take a look at him, and they'll try and work on that. Those are never fun. They're even less fun when they wake you up in the middle of the night, right, Tony?
That's exactly right.
We got to line up and go 2 here. They were unsuccessful the first time. They'll go shotgun with 3 wideouts and Dibbern right next to Halligan. Against the second team, they can probably overpower him. Halligan rolls, throws underneath, and it is complete. 2-point conversion to Ty Stevens. So Stevens brings in the 2-point conversion, and with a minute 14 to go in the game, it's Pleasanton 35 and Amherst 14. We'll be back after this timeout on Classic Hits, 98.9 on the World Wide Web, KKPR.com.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits, from its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. Stop by your Buffalo County Farm Bureau office today.
You're headed in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Can't seem to find that car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for?
see the professionals at Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979. 8th and Central, Kearney.
Dr. Michael Sadoff and Dr. Andrew Sadoff of Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic in Miller believe all of our furry friends, large and small, deserve kind, humane, and loving treatments. They can precondition your calves this fall and ultrasound your heifers and cows either at the clinic or on your farm. Best of luck, Amherst from Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic.
A minute 14 left here until the Misco Sports postgame show and then the Friday night scoreboard show back at the studios. Josh Jeldon, Stacey Johns, Grant Sparks, and the entire crew. We'll have a recap of this game. Hastings High and Adams Central, which was an incredible finish. Adams Central wins it. St. Cecilia, Kearney Catholic, Blue Hill Sutton. A game recaps from our radio network. Then scores from around the area and state. No onside kick here, just a deep kick that'll be taken at the 10-yard line by Jake Neal of Pleasanton. 15, 20, 25. Out across to the 29-yard line. Good return. And he's going to be brought down by Dominic Abbott, as Amherst has some kids in there that we haven't seen. Logan Van Dyke is into the ball game on that kick return. Chris Rasmussen,
Tyler Martinson, Chris Ostendorf,
Mikhail Sierra, minutes seven to go, and John Colsheen is in offensively for Pleasanton.
Logan Van Dyke, did you say him? Mikhail Sierra?
Yep, got him. Let's see how these final few seconds will play out here. Brian Weeches is also into the ball game. A minute seven left. Probably a couple of plays here if Pleasanton keeps it on the ground. Colin Janicek stays in as the quarterback to keep it fluid. He'll turn. He'll hand it off to the new I-back, which is Derek Tolles. And Tolles will come forward for about a five-yard gain up to the 34-yard line.
Yeah, nothing fancy there. But, you know, Doug, this is pretty important. And that's maybe why Pleasanton does what they do every year. It seems like they just reload. They've got kids that get varsity experience. And anytime you're late in the ball games, getting to play on Friday night, that's great for your program.
Eight different players have carried the ball, and they did not have to put Caleb Pritchard, or they did not go to Caleb Pritchard like they did last year in the backfield.
I have a feeling sometime this year they will.
Yeah, this should be the final play of the game. They give it to out on the left side. That's going to be William Gibbons. Turns the corner, has the first down across midfield, and will be pushed close to out of bounds. Mark him down right at the midfield stripe. It's going to be a gain of five. With 19 seconds to go. Pleasanton with the lead and ready to fit this ball game off. Gibbons toss sweep right side, trying to follow some blockers, and moves the football down to the 35-yard line, and that'll be the final play of the football game as the 10 seconds run off the clock and the first meeting between Amherst and Pleasanton in varsity football in a number of years will be won by the Pleasanton Bulldogs. Your final score, Pleasanton 35 and Amherst 14. Amherst will be back in action next week when they hit the road to Loup City. Pleasanton will have their only home game of the month, and it will be another challenging one against the Loomis Wolves, a rematch of their second-round playoff victory last year, where Loomis really gave them problems in the first half of that game. That was 7-0 at halftime, and then ended up a blowout. Pleasanton scored the first play of the third quarter, and then just really outran them and ran them over tough. So that's what was going on. Final score, 35-14, and we will take a break and be back with more right after this timeout.
Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed are proud sponsors of high school sports. For high-yielding corn, soybean, and alfalfa, New Tech Seed is the only company you'll ever need. Call Terry or Jason today at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Bailey Drywall in Pleasanton is proud to support the area athletes this year and wish them the best of luck today. Call Bailey for all your drywall projects, big or small. They take care of all your walls. From a little remodel to a new construction, Bailey Drywall is the name you need to know. Zimatic and Pleasanton Irrigation offer you big saving choices when you purchase your new system. Order soon and take advantage of both low interest rates and rebates. Pleasanton Irrigation says go Dogs.
And welcome back to Amherst. We want to thank Athletic Director Ron Evans and Tom Moore, Roger Thompson, all the fine folks here for their hospitality when we always come over to Amherst. It's a great place to call a football game from. A lot different than the old days. Beautiful press box here. You don't have to worry about stepping any holes, and they've got some pretty good athletics to go along with it, and we thank them for that. It's time for the Misco Sports postgame show. Misco Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the games begin. With a great selection to choose from, get your game on at Misco's. In the downtown Kearney Center, you'll be better equipped for the games you play. Open 7 days a week. Before you head to the Loper game or the Husker game tomorrow, stop in, pick up that T-shirt, sweatshirt, hat, and they've got it there for you. Open at 9 a.m. and open 7 days a week. Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Pleasanton 35 and Amherst 14. And Tony, Pleasanton scored quickly tonight. They hit quickly. They scored on their first two possessions. A fake punt on fourth and five from their own side of the field that they barely got but did get it. Led to a touchdown. Their defense shut Amherst down the first couple three possessions. Amherst moved the ball in the second quarter, but just couldn't get into the end zone. Had a first and goal, had the ball inside the 20 and fumbled it, and they just weren't going to be able to come back. They played that bad tonight, but that's when the game was being pressured a little bit and Pleasanton couldn't move the ball, Colin Janicek threw all over.
Yeah, you know, that was probably one of the big surprises of the night, I got to think, entering this season. You thought the power running game would be there for the Pleasanton Bulldogs, and you know, they still got several people they can interchange back at the running back position. They got speed to get to the outside, but most of all, they've got size back there. They've got three kids that can just drop a shoulder and just lower the boom on you and run for tough 3, 4, 5 yards a crack. Now, so you knew that was coming this season, but what you didn't know is Janicek could throw the ball like he did tonight. Boy, he placed the ball. I don't think he had a pass the second half, but he threw for 125 yards in the first half and put the ball at least 7 for 9, put the ball exactly where it needed to be continually down the field. And if that's the case, you're going to pick your poison with this team. You want to stop their run game, that's just fine because they'll throw the ball on you over the top of you. And I think it's a Pleasanton team that can go deep, deep, deep into the playoffs and do some really good things once the season gets deep into the season.
Well, we've got the stats to bring to you here on the Misco Sports postgame show. And for Amherst, it'll be interesting. They've got something to work with. I don't think they expected Dylan Halligan to be a big thrower, but they've got some potential there. And if they can open up the passing game, it's going to make that running game better. I don't know how many better lines Amherst is going to face this year. I guess that's where it is. Be discouraged. They didn't run the ball very well tonight, but I think a lot of the teams that they play this year, they're going to be able to run the ball a lot better with Dibbern and Luffelholz and maybe get Halligan, the quarterback, a little bit more involved running the football. He's actually the biggest of the crew.
Yeah, you know, they came in. They wanted to run the football as well. You had to scrap that game plan, go to game plan B. And with game plan B, that came throwing the football. Now, you knew Halligan had a strong arm, didn't know how many receivers down the field could catch it. Well, maybe you get a couple kids do step up and catch it tonight. And one of those happened to be number 5, Ty Stevens, doing some good things on the outside. Yeah, you want to get Dibbern the ball. They thought maybe through the flat passes, through some screen passes, that was going to be the way they were going to get Dibbern the ball. But trying to get him down the field is also another weapon they could use. And like you said, the line for Pleasanton probably going to be one of the better ones they see this year. So maybe they can get back and do some of that power running game against some less than superior foes.
We will take a break and have the final stats for you right after this on the Misco Sports postgame show.
Pleasanton Meat Processing is your custom beef and pork processors, and they can handle it all. USDA steaks are available, they can smoke your orders, and they have barbecue beef and pork. Pleasanton Meat Processing says, tear them up, Bulldogs!
Misco Sports Incorporated of Kearney wants you to see them before the games begin. Misco's carries brand name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel from names like Columbia, Nike, and more. Get your game on at Misco's now in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play.
Age 50 or older?
Hey, is there any benefit of being mature? You bet there is. At Barney Insurance, we have programs especially designed just for you. Did you know that you are a low risk? Mm-hmm. Call us at Barney Insurance, 237-2222.
We believe you deserve the best. That's why we're here at Ag West. You gotta go AgWest.com. Go Ag West.
And welcome back to the Misco Sports Postgame Show here at KKPR, our Friday night scoreboard show with Josh Shelton, Stacy Johns, and that other guy, Merritt Lawson, coming up here right after we finish things up. Let's take a look at the final stats. First off, for Amherst, I had Bryce Dibbern for 9 carries and 23 yards. Ty Stevens, 1 carry, 6 yards. Logan Leffelholtz, 8 carries, 13 yards. Dylan Halligan, 5 carries, negative 7 yards. He had a touchdown. He was sacked twice in the ball game. Had a team fumble for negative 7 yards that they fell back on. They actually had negative yards rushing in the second half here tonight. 24 carries for 28 yards tonight. But through the air, Dylan Halligan put the ball up 28 times. He was 5 of 11 for 59 yards in the first half, 10 of 17 for 115 yards in the second half. So for the game, in his first start, Dylan Halligan was 15 of 18. No interceptions, no touchdowns, 174 yards through the air, 28 on the ground, 202 total yards of offense. They did have 12 first downs in the ball game. Not a lot of big plays tonight. Three plays that got them over 20 yards, maybe two plays, both in the passing game. They never did break a big run tonight. Their longest run was a 9-yarder by Dibbern in the second quarter. They punted the ball 4 times tonight. He clocked one for 40 yards once. But Halligan had 3 that were 26 yards or less. 2 turnovers in the ball game, both fumbles in Pleasanton territory. 4 penalties tonight for 29 yards. So again, 12 first downs, 29 yards in penalties, 4 punts that averaged less than 25 or 30 yards, we should say. 2 fumbles in the ball game, 3 for 174, but ran for just 28. The lone touchdown before that final one was the 59-yard kickoff return by Bryce Dibbern, with 3:55 to go in the third quarter, and then the 3-yard run by Dylan Halligan on a quarterback keeper with 1:14 to go in the game. Now for Pleasanton, I had Austin Pates with 11 carries, 23 yards. Derek Toles, 1 carry, 5 yards. Clay Weber, 3 carries, 26 yards. Cole Pritchard actually had 2 carries, both as the punter, for 10 yards tonight. Jason Nichols was the game's leading rusher, 17 carries, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. William Gibbons right there had the last 2 carries for 10 yards. Garrett Reese, 1 carry. It was a 3-yard touchdown, the opening touchdown of the game. Colin Janicek, 10 carries, 19 yards. He was sacked once. Lucas Mills, 1 carry for 3 yards. If I got it figured up right, Tony, that's 48 rushing attempts for 199 yards tonight for Pleasanton. And Jason Nichols did enough to keep things moving there, especially in the second half.
Yeah, that's 4 yards a crack. Obviously, Pleasanton's used to having people average 8-10 yards a carry. Some of the holes they've been able to open up and the speed they've had. I expect more of the same with that power running game as the year continues.
Colin Janicek didn't have to put the ball up much in the second half. He was 7 of 9 in the first half with no interceptions, a touchdown at 126 yards. He was 0 of 2 in the second half, and both of those were in the third quarter. So 7 of 11, no interceptions, 1 touchdown, 126 yards through the air, 199 on the ground, 325 yards of total offense, 17 first downs tonight for Pleasanton. They did punt the ball 4 times, lined up to punt it 6 times. They ran a fake, converted, had one snapped over Cole Pritchard's head that he almost converted. Those 4 punts are going to average you at about 31 yards per punt. And a little bit better in the penalties in the second half after getting 7 for 46 in the first. They just had the 1 penalty, a holding in the second half. 8 penalties, 56 yards tonight for Pleasanton. Garrett Reese, a 3-yard run. Jason Nichols, a 19-yard run in the first quarter. A 9-yard pass from Colin Janicek to Clay Weber with 23 seconds to go before the half. Made it 20-0 once you added the conversion. Austin Pace had a 3-yard touchdown run in the third quarter. And Nichols, his second touchdown, a 10-yarder with 6:44 to go in the game. And that was the only extra point Ridge Neal made that one. The final score, Pleasanton 35 and Amherst 14. We'll wrap it up on the Misco Sports postgame show next.
Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting all athletes back in their game. Whether you're running your business or running up the score, Dr. Wilkinson provides comprehensive care in the areas of total joint replacement surgery, sports medicine, trauma, and general orthopedics. Sports medicine for every athlete. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. Eustis Body Shop, that's who we are.
Well, that's going to wrap things up here. The Friday Night Scoreboard Show next. Tony, your thoughts? We'll probably see both these teams a little later on in the season.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a good start to the season. Obviously, if you're feeling pretty comfortable right now, like the team coming in, go back to the drawing board, maybe miss some things up in Grahamhurst, but know you got beat by a pretty good football team in Pleasanton. So something you can take away from it also.
Well, next week should be some more great football. Don't forget tomorrow, college football, the Huskers on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. We've got Notre Dame, Purdue, and North Carolina, LSU. It's Labor Day. Daddy, go snag something in the face. Catch a fish this weekend. I know you're heading up here.
Well, we're going to try. We're going to try and do that in the morning. So we'll see if we can get out, and hopefully, I mean, masses of people will be out there. Hopefully we won't have to fight that.
Yeah, I hate to see that for you. The masses will be heading to Lincoln. We'll see you down there at the Husker game. For our producer-engineer, Stacey Johns, I'm Doug Duda, and for Tony Davis, you've been listening to the Misco Sports postgame show, Misco Sports, on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center. Hey, a little chilly tonight. If you're going out to watch football, get a jacket of your team, a hooded sweatshirt. They've got everything you need at Misco Sports. Again, the final score tonight, the Pleasanton Bulldogs 35 and the Amherst Broncos 14. Until we see you at the Men and Volleyball Center Tuesday, this is Doug Duda saying have a great night and a great Labor Day weekend.
The preceding broadcast was a presentation of Classic Hits 98.9 FM and KKPR.com. Podcast of this and all play-by-play broadcasts are available. To download a copy, log on to KKPR.com.